donation to Tomorrow Matters. And thank you for giving me a part of your day. And remember, we change today by changing, we change tomorrow by changing today. And we have to. We have to, because tomorrow really matters. So tell a friend. And stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up on the CBS News. Have a great afternoon.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The West Virginia Democratic primary expected to be a cakewalk for Hillary Clinton. Polls close in an hour and a half. CBS News team coverage. Here's Bob Fuss.
Barack Obama conceded the state early, and polls show a huge margin likely for Hillary Clinton. Her supporters, like Laura Buchanan, are enthusiastic, but also realistic. She isn't likely to become the nominee.
I will support whoever the Democratic candidate is. I think Hillary's the better choice, but I'll work for whoever is chosen.
Though she has already fallen behind in superdelegates, Clinton's only hope is to point to this and other victories in potentially important swing states and try to convince the rest of the superdelegates to switch over to her.
I'm Dan Revive. The answers given by voters as they exited from polling places spell not only a very likely victory for Hillary Clinton in West Virginia, but continued challenges for Barack Obama, at least in parts of the country with very few African Americans. Among West Virginia Democrats, 5% say they're African American. The large white majority strongly favored Clinton. One-third of Clinton voters say in November, if Obama's the Democrat, they'll vote for Republican John McCain.
Texas evangelist Reverend John Hagee has apologized for his stinging criticism of the Roman Catholic Church. He's endorsed John McCain a while back, who said at the time that Hagee's comments were out of line. McCain's reaction to the Hagee apology today?
The fact that he has made an apology, I think, is very helpful. Whenever someone apologizes for something they did wrong, then I think that that's a laudable thing to do.
The House votes shortly on a proposal to stop filling the nation's petroleum reserve. Sean Broderick at MoneyAndMarkets.com says it's more valuable psychologically than an actual oil save.
If people saw the government taking real, concrete steps to lower the price of oil, the sentiment would probably shift among the traders, the speculators, the big funds, and they would start to push oil back down. They would jump on the other side of the boat.
Oil today just under $126 a barrel. Earthquake search and rescue operations still underway in China. There are so many crumbled buildings, thousands and thousands of missing people, and a death toll already over 12,000.
Medical supplies are in desperately short supply, and what is making it worse is this rain. It's been coming down nonstop now for nearly 2 days.
That's Peter Sharp at Sky News in Chengdu, in the ancient Indian city of Jaipur. Police and people also dig through rubble of a half dozen suspected terror bombs, which killed at least 45 people.
Apparently, these bombs were tied onto bicycles, and they were triggered by alarm clocks. All the explosions took place within a space of a few minutes, and they were all planted in the most crowded parts of the old city.
That's CBS's Ranjan Gupta. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 44 points on the day. The Nasdaq picked up nearly 7 points. Gasoline prices today reported by the AAA at $3.73 a gallon, a new record. This is CBS News.
When peanuts are kettle roasted, they're extra crunchy, like Planters kettle roasted peanuts. Here to explain, kettle expert Dagmar the Witch.
To make extra crunchy peanuts, you must first prepare your kettle.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
With the fat rendered from boiling children!
Dagmar, we just want to make the peanuts extra crunchy, not the...
Into the kettle, you crunchy, crunchy brat!
No children were harmed in the making of Planters extra crunchy kettle roasted peanuts. Drop that kid, Dagmar! Planters, instinctively good.
Annoying allergies? Switch to Allivert for great allergy relief and incredible savings. Quick-dissolving Allivert bursts into action the instant it touches your tongue, so you know non-drowsy allergy relief is on the way. Claritin can't beat the relief of Allivert, and Claritin costs more. So stick it to your allergies and the higher price of Claritin. Experience Allivert. Visit Allivert.com for your $4 coupon.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 3/23/08 on average price of daily dosage brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
Arguably the greatest female golfer ever, Annika Sörenstam is retiring. She said today she's been thinking about it for a while, and at age 37, she's hanging up her drivers. Golf editor David Dusek.
She has really tried to compose herself and act as a great champion of the game of golf. She is someone that when fans come up to her with something to autograph, she very happily signs things off, and that has rubbed off on the rest of the women on the LPGA Tour.
Annika Sörenstam has won 72 tournaments. Her last professional outing will be the Dubai Ladies Masters at the end of the tour this year. Near Cincinnati, Brian Gegner is going to jail for 6 months for failing to follow the judge's previous order to make sure his delinquent of a teenage daughter did her homework and studied. Brittany Gegner is 19 now and says it isn't fair to send her father to jail because she didn't do what she should have. Besides, she says she lives with her mother these days, not her dad. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world, and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coop from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. What's with the 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you. Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coop, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. This program is available by prescription and is now heard Saturday afternoons on Green 960 in San Francisco. Good to have you with us. Two great books we're going to talk about this hour on the program. Rick Perlstein joins us in about half an hour. Nixon Land is his new book.
Covered wagon, medicine show. Take you to a place where the healing souls are. Oh, we keep spinning. We got the juice. Won't save your soul in a shiny shoes. Oh, Jimmy King to Kangaroo. Santa Fe to Timbuktu. Oh, don't be fooled by imitation. This is the stuff that cured a nation.
This is the stuff that cured a nation, the song says. That big audio dynamite, they came out of The Clash. And the tune is called Medicine Show, the perfect setup for Melody Peterson's new book. She's a former New York Times reporter and an award-winning journalist at that. Her new book is called Our Daily Meds, and despite the lengthy subtitle, I'll read it to you anyway. We are fighting subtitle creep on this program. How the pharmaceutical companies transform themselves into slick marketing machines and hook the nation on prescription drugs. Melody, welcome to our program.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is a very interesting book, and it's something that I've been looking for quite some time, because I watch a fair amount of television news, and one of the things I've noticed is the news programs tilt to older demographics, and so a lot of the advertising is for pharmaceutical products. And this has caused me to learn about afflictions that I never knew existed.
Right.
And as pharma has spent more and more money, what is it, about $20 billion a year, maybe more now, on advertising?
Much, much more.
What is it now?
Well, actually, the companies don't disclose how much they pay for marketing. But once in a while, the executives will tell us a little bit. And what they've said is that they will spend as much as $1 billion in the first 2 years that a drug is on the market,
mm-hmm.
just on promotion, if they want it to be a big selling drug like Lipitor. So that's just a single drug.
Yeah. And it is so prolific now, and of course people pay a lot of attention to these commercials, and we tend to hear about the side effects, about the four-day erections and other things that occur. And some of these pharmaceuticals, these drugs, at least when they read you the side effects, sound very unattractive. Now, of course, the side effects don't hit every person, but still, if the law requires them to list that information, and they've come up with clever ways of trying to get away from that, like, well, look for our ad in Us magazine. That's where we've buried the fine print about how this drug might cause seizures or other unattractive developments as you pursue a cure to your condition.
Right. Every one of these drugs have risks. And the bottom line point of my book is that it's really not the medicines that are the problem. It's the marketing, because marketing is all about selling a person as much of a product as you can, whether you really need that product or not, which might be all right if you're selling computers, but it's definitely not all right if you're selling medicines.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a Prozac Nation, and there was a book by that title a few years ago. What is the consumption rate or the number of Americans who use these Prozac-type drugs? I think they're called serotonin uptake, SSRI, is that the...
Yes. Those antidepressants are some of the most heavily prescribed drugs in the country. I'm not quite sure how many prescriptions for those drugs, but right now in America, two-thirds of of all men, women, and children are now taking a prescription drug, and it's a number that goes up every year.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who are on antidepressants who don't exhibit what I can say, and I'm an amateur here, I don't want to play doctor, but don't exhibit the classical signs of depression. And as you point out in the book, there are many people who persuade their doctors to give them Wellbutrin or Prozac or any number of these drugs, and they're dealing with setbacks in life or, momentary downturns, that sort of thing. And I would imagine that some people, you know, might hit a slump, a divorce or a death of a family member, and use a pharmaceutical like that short term, and then feel like, well, gosh, you know, I can't afford to stop taking this.
Right.
And so we don't call them classically addictive, but aren't they habit forming?
Yes, I would say you're right about that. And it's clear that doctors are prescribing drugs like antidepressants to people who don't meet the symptoms of depression, to people who, there was actually a study, and they had patients who weren't really ill, but just they played the part of the patient, go in to a doctor's office and say they had just been fired and they felt so terrible. And it was clear they weren't suffering from depression. They were just suffered a setback.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor prescribed the drug anyway.
And he did that because?
Because the patient asked for the antidepressant. Actually, it was in the study, the patient asked for Paxil mm-hmm. by name.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to work very well to get the doctor to prescribe the drug.
And that's interesting because I've never used an antidepressant, but I don't know which one would be right for me. And I'd be more willing to rely on my doctor than, say, a doctor in a TV commercial who tells me, oh, Paxil's the one that will set your life on course.
Right. Actually, one problem here that I describe in my book, it's actually amazing that I don't think most people realize that, we used to be able to go into the drugstore and get any drug that we wanted. But in 1951, Congress decided that we would have to get a prescription. And they decided the physician was independent from the drug companies and well-educated. But what the drug companies have done is most of the marketing dollars now go to the doctors.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, almost every, I don't go to the doctor that often. I'm a very fortunate guy with good health, but I was seeing a dermatologist recently, and just in the 15 minutes in the waiting room, two pharmaceutical company reps came in with bags of swag. They had notepads, they had coffee mugs, they had free samples, they were inviting the doctor to some event, I think, at the Ritz-Carlton. And this is just me overhearing it in the waiting room.
Right. There was a study that said, a survey of doctors, where 94% of doctors said that they took cash or gifts or something of value from the drug company. So that's virtually all doctors in America.
And you suggest in the book that there ought to be disclosure to the patients, like a little sign up in the waiting room that says, your doctor has received these gifts and emoluments from Pfizer.
Right, right. I think that patient, when they check in with the receptionist, should get a list of all the gifts that that doctor has received for the last couple years. Actually, what I want is a law that bans these gifts and the cash payments to doctors outright.
Mm-hmm.
Because in America, we have this a law that says even music companies can't give cash to radio disc jockeys for free.
I know, and I suffered for a long time under those restrictions, Melody.
Right. But then when it comes to medicine, things that mean life and death, a drug company can give hundreds of thousands of dollars to a doctor, and there's no law that says they can't.
It's called payola in the radio business, and that's pretty much what it is in the medical trade, too, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
We're talking with Melody Peterson, former New York Times reporter who covered the pharmaceutical industry for the Times, and her new book is out, Our Daily Meds. If you have a question or comment, you can call us right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Melody, I have gotten in trouble for this before, but I am undeterred. I told you about learning about new diseases and afflictions through the advertisements for the drugs that address them. And I never knew that there was such a thing as restless leg syndrome. And the last time I mentioned this, I got four flaming emails from people who said, you insensitive cad, if you knew what it was like, you would never make fun of this. So I stipulate that there are real problems and real conditions that fall under the term restless leg syndrome.
Right.
But isn't this a solution in search of its problem when they spend all that money on television advertising?
Yes, it actually is. A disease by like restless leg syndrome, it's definitely real. But I was actually at a conference one day a couple years back, and a drug executive actually gave a speech on how he and his company had created a disease. They had a pill they wanted to expand the market for, and he went through with his slide presentation point by point how they had created this disease. So the drug companies can do that if they want.
And in the book, you in particular cite the drug company Pharmacia. Is that how they pronounce that?
Yes.
And their development of a treatment for overactive bladder. And they hired Mary Lou Retton, the former Olympic star. And they're out there telling people, gosh, do you feel like you've got to go too often?
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how serious a problem overactive bladder is. But it just strikes me that when you trot out Mary Lou Retton, you're not really talking to people about their medical issues. You're trying to use star power to get them to adopt a product.
Absolutely. And see, all these drugs are a balance of the benefits and the risks.
Mm-hmm.
Like a drug for overactive bladder, you don't have to run to the restroom as many times. But the drug has so many different risks, including it can hurt your memory. I write about in the book how a couple women were diagnosed with Alzheimer's when really their problem had been caused by this drug for overactive bladder called Detrol.
Detrol, and it's an offshoot of Ditropan, is that right?
It's a similar drug.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Melody, this is fascinating. We got to take a break, and we'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about the way the pharmaceutical industry pushes drugs on Americans, give us a call. My lines are open for you right now, and no prescription is required. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Marina Guest Home in Watsonville reminds us the care and support of our older Americans is a year-round concern. If you're aware of a senior living alone, please check regularly on their health and safety. Any assistance you can lend, a trip shopping, an invitation to dinner, or even a simple visitor call can help assure their safety and make a difference in the joy they experience in everyday life. This message from Molina Guest Home in Watsonville. Remember, love is ageless and growing older should always be graceful.
Have you noticed that everyone is talking about being green? High-efficiency light bulbs, recycling, sustainable products that are healthy for us and crucial to our environment. Well, check out the new furniture store in town that is totally green. The name is SC41 Furniture, and it's our grand opening. Our mattress systems are designed to feel better, last longer, and sleep deeper. They're made from naturally ecologically healthy components, like high-quality latex that holds its shape and provides extra support. SC41 also offers sustainable furniture that is made in the old-world craftsman style with no harmful chemicals, non-toxic stains, solid wood construction, and formaldehyde-free glues. Sustainable style for the rest of your life. So if you want to better the environment and live healthier without compromising comfort, quality, or beauty, come visit the new store in town, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with former New York Times reporter and award-winning journalist Melody Peterson. Her new book with the lengthy subtitle is called Our Daily Meds, How the Pharmaceutical Companies Transform Themselves into Slick Marketing Machines and Hook the Nation on Prescription Drugs. And, Melody, one of the points that really caused me to connect with you and invite you on the program is that in, I believe, the foreword or introduction to your book, you describe that the for-profit delivery of health care in this country is an utter failure.
And that's something that I feel very strongly about. And as we've talked about the competing health care proposals of presidential candidates, none of them really addresses the fundamental issue that our flirtation with market delivery of health care has been a colossal failure. We can't control the cost. We can't deliver it to everyone who deserves it. And the whole pharmaceutical component is a huge part of that issue.
Right. You know, we now spend more on healthcare. When economists tally up consumer spending at the end of the year, Americans now spend more on healthcare than they do on housing or food or anything else. It's amazing, and we don't have much to show for that. When you look at a life expectancy figures, I looked at 1980. In 1980, a 65-year-old woman in America could comfort herself in that she had expected the longest life of any woman in the world. But by 2003, in a list of 30 countries, that American woman had fallen to 17.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Let's take a call here. James is checking in from Watsonville. Welcome, James. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Melody Peterson.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I've been diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
And that was back in 2003. When I originally saw the doctor, I told him my symptoms. I told him that I have trouble with speech and vision and coordination and head confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And he prescribed me some antidepressants for that, which I thought was kind of strange because I wasn't depressed. I kept telling him, well, doctor, I don't think I'm depressed. I'd like to see maybe someone who could examine my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, the insurance company won't let me, I won't authorize that, he said. But he did send me to a psychologist, and the psychologist was the one who prescribed the antidepressants. And although I didn't take them because I told him I wasn't depressed, so I went home and I saw another doctor, and he told me the same thing, that I was depressed. So it took about until 2007, which I finally, after seeing a number of doctors, and finally saw a doctor who described, I told him the same symptoms, the same story that I told the other doctors, and he told me, well, that sounds like a brain injury. So we took some tests. We went through 5 months of testing, and he determined that I did have a traumatic brain injury,
mm-hmm.
Which actually is a mild traumatic brain injury, but it's still, you know, it's still
very real.
Disabling. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And now.
Okay. Go ahead.
And now I'm having to. I said, how can I get better? And he says, well, there's a window of like 18 months when you first get the injury that is the time when you should be rehabilitating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it had been years since then, and now I'm stuck with my only options left is now is to get disability.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get a comment from Melody.
What you're finding is the drug industry does most of what doctors learn about medicines comes from the drug industry. The industry pays for as much as 80% of their medical education that they received after medical school. So they learn about depression because there's all these drugs being sold to treat depression, but they aren't learning about things like traumatic brain injury, things that are really affecting patients unless there's some treatment being sold for that. So that's one reason you had such a hard time there.
Well, and I haven't heard any products marketed for TBI, for traumatic brain injury. And I'm not being facetious here, James, but I'm addressing the power of marketing in influencing doctors as well as patients. It's really mind-boggling. James, thank you for sharing your story today. And Melody, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your book. There's a lot more in it. We didn't get to talk about one case. I just wanted to mention briefly, you talk about Karen Garcia, a disc jockey in Bakersfield who was taking Wellbutrin.
Right.
And it led to her death from seizures.
Right.
And people should be well aware of that there are strong side effects from many of these medications. And I hope they'll read your book, Our Daily Meds. We've been talking with Melody Peterson. Thanks, Melody.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Coming up next, writer Rick Perlstein joins us. His new book is Nixonland. We're going to go back to the Tricky Dick years.
From Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. A new study done at the National Institute on Drug Abuse shows heavy marijuana use is linked with heart disease.
Marijuana users, some of them are at risk for stroke and also cardiovascular dysfunction.
Marijuana advocacy groups dispute that finding.
If marijuana is a serious cause of heart disease, where are the bodies?
More after this. Over 70 million Americans deal with pre-hypertension. But let me tell you about a wonderful new product, Emil BP, that makes maintaining healthy blood pressure easy. You take it every day the way you do your vitamins. Emil BP uses a patented, naturally derived ingredient called Emil Peptide, clinically shown to help maintain a healthy blood pressure. Keep yours in a healthy range by eating right, exercising, and taking Emil BP. Available at CVS and Walgreens, or visit EmilBP.com to find other fine retailers near you. Are you looking to buy a cell phone for mom or dad? You'll probably want to get them something that's both reliable and easy to use, and Verizon Wireless has the perfect phone. It's called the Coupe. It has a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, and dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. And since it's backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and Verizon Wireless, you know it's reliable. The Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Everything they need and nothing they don't. To learn more, call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today or visit a Verizon Wireless store near you. To say that Bruce Merkin of the Marijuana Policy Project disagrees with the findings of this latest study from the National Institute on Drug Abuse is putting it mildly.
I frankly think the study is garbage. It shouldn't even have been published.
Dr. Jean-Luc Cadet, a neuropsychiatrist at the Institute, had done previous studies on marijuana's effect on the brain and conceded that light usage didn't have much effect mentally.
But moderate and heavy users of marijuana had cognitive deficits related to memory, attention, and decision-making.
Dr. Cadet and his colleagues then measured blood protein levels in long-term heavy users and found high levels of a protein that increases the amount of triglycerides, which can contribute to hardening of the arteries, raising the risk of strokes and heart attacks.
So it's pretty consistent that heavy use of marijuana is not good for your neurological health, or now we're showing that maybe cardiovascular health.
They didn't look at whether there was more actual heart disease. Well, first of all, says Bruce Merkin,
these were very, very heavy marijuana smokers, so it's not at all clear that this would apply to the vast majority of marijuana users.
And secondly,
there seems to be much less here than meets the eye. They're talking about blood levels of certain chemicals, but there's no evidence at all that people who use marijuana actually have higher rates of heart attacks, anything like that.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Let's go back to the days of Tricky Dick. Rick Perlstein's got a new book out called Nixon Land. We're going to talk with him.
My fellow Americans, at our convention, Miami and L.A., a campaign across the USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate. And Martha Mitchell says, do, 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 do.
Where's Martha when we need her?
Election committee, never ever give it away. Everybody has to pay and pay. Let me make this perfectly clear. It can't be denied. My fellow Americans, I've got nothing to hide. Say, ain't it great? I said, hey, Sparrow, make a date with the Watergate. I said, hey, Joe, make a date with the Watergate. Yeah. Martha Mitchell, she say, do, 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 do.
What about the limited hangout route, huh?
Do.
Rick Perlstein is a liberal, a blogger. He blogs at OurFuture.org, and for, he tells me, about 7 years now, he's been working on this fat tome called Nixonland, The Rise of a President and the Fracturing of America. Rick, thanks for coming to my crib.
Peter, it's great to be at the world headquarters.
Well, it's good to see you. We often meet in Washington or talk by telephone, and I've never seen you in a suit and tie like this. You're spiffed up.
I'm on a book tour.
Yeah.
It's the world tour. The Perlstein Nixonland World Tour, coming soon to a city near you,
well,
including Berkeley, California, tomorrow night.
All right. Well, it's arrived here, and we're delighted. And, Rick, the music you heard is a pal of mine. He was I think he's still on the radio in Chicago. His name is John Records Landecker. And he made that spoof song about 1973 at the height of Watergate. And I have to tell you, I was a young radio guy at the time. I had hair. I was 19 or 20, something like that, when the story started to break. And foolish executives at ABC Radio had given me control of an all-night talk show in Chicago. Now, since you live in the Windy City,
yes,
you
do.
Can appreciate that the studios were at Michigan and Wacker, right near the river. And I reported for duty at midnight each night. And the Chicago Tribune and the Sun-Times put their one-star editions out about 11:30. And so I was able to grab them on the way to the studio, just a little run around the bridges there, right at the heart of the loop. And then I would go on the radio and read from tomorrow's paper. And people just thought that I had all these inside sources in Washington and knew what Sam Ervin was going to do next. And it was a great time for me. And I have to give credit that Richard Nixon made me the number one late-night talk show host in Chicago. And the guys in the front office said, what are you doing? How did this happen? So I warm to the subject of your book, but I imagine there are people out there saying, come on, Nixon's been dead for a long time, and this is ancient history. What's the relevance of Nixonland in our current setting? And I would argue there's quite a bit.
Well, first of all, for all you Peter B. fans out there, he has a luxurious, rich head of hair. I'm glad to be able to report. But the last line of my book is, we're living in Nixonland still. And what I mean by that is, out of the calamities and cacophonies and chaos of the 1960s, as exploited by Richard Nixon, as he played people's resentments and fears and anxieties about social change, were etched the very shape of our politics today. Every time the Republicans or Hillary Clinton rail about how Barack Obama is an elitist who, doesn't understand real south-of-the-earth Americans, that's straight out of the Checker speech from Richard Nixon in 1952. It's straight out of his...
Pat's got a cloth coat.
That's right.
And we might have to return the dog.
Right. And, you know, I mean, no one, you know, it's like we take it for granted that Republicans can get away with calling liberals and Democrats snobs, arrogant snobs who are looking down their noses at you and me. That was something that Richard Nixon pretty much invented. I mean, in that speech in 1952, he went on TV, biggest television audience in history, and he was accused of basically taking a secret fund from rich donors. And he totally flipped it around and said, how can I be taking money from rich donors? I'm just a modest guy. This is how much money I owe. This is how much money I owe my mortgage. I drive an Oldsmobile, a really modest car. And by the way, my wife, Pat, who's sitting right there, and she was sitting right there on TV, smiling endearingly at him, she doesn't wear a mink coat. And that was code because at the time, the Truman administration was up to its neck in a scandal involving his chief of staff, which supposedly accepted a mink coat as a bribe.
Mm-hmm.
So those Democrats, they wear mink coats. My wife, Pat, wears a respectable Republican cloth coat. And from that moment, one of the liberal journalists who's so disgusted at what was happening said he has just managed to turn the image of Republican style aloofness onto the Democrats.
Yeah. And he kind of invented liberal bashing.
Well, I think that...
Or did he just champion it?
Edmund Burke probably was doing some liberal bashing in the 18th century, but he really brought it to an art form. Actually, they coined him and his buddy Agnew, who was mentioned in the song there, coined the term radical liberals.
Right.
Which, you know, like everything Nixon did was tactically brilliant because...
Radiclibs. I remember that was a headline.
They shortened it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they didn't want to call the senators that they were running against in 1970 radicals because that was just a little too far. Liberals wasn't quite enough. So they came up with this, you know, half loaf. And, well, actually, it didn't work because the Democrats actually did pretty good in 1970, which, by the way, really, 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 really angered Richard Nixon and probably was the seedbed for the absolute mental break that caused him to put together the plumbers,
mm-hmm.
because he couldn't handle the idea that he wasn't going to be able to control the Senate and wouldn't be able to control how to prosecute the Vietnam War.
But Nixon did consider himself a victim of the liberal media.
Absolutely.
And the media was actually somewhat liberal at that time.
Yes. And one of the things I narrate in the book, which I'm quite proud of actually, is the period in 1968 and 1969 when the media, the folks in New York, the ABCs, the CBS, the New York Times, the Washington Post, suddenly became morbidly self-conscious with the idea that they were liberal. And that started with the Democratic Convention in 1968. One of the things that happened in that convention was that all the hippies were beaten up in the streets, but the cops singled out reporters. They singled out cameramen. And after that, TV news saw itself as kind of the moral light unto the nation. They were the people mm-hmm. who brought us Selma. They were the people who brought us Birmingham. They were the people who showed us the flight of the plight of the farm workers. They were the ones who enraptured a nation by showing the Kennedy funeral for hour upon end. And they thought that they were the martyrs. And a bunch of network and media executives sent an angry telegram to Mayor Daley. How dare your cops beat up on these brave truth tellers. And they were shocked to discover, and I talked to someone who was a producer at NBC at the time, a good friend of mine, that the public sided with the police and against the media. And they began to think of the media like people think of bosses, like people think of cops. And Richard Nixon, of course, took great advantage of that. But even more importantly, that's when the working of the refs began.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the media started bending over backwards, hiring people like William Safire, the former Nixon speechwriter, doing things like there was a kind of one of the Thomas Friedmans of the day, one of the kind of the top columnists was this guy named Joseph Kraft, and he was a pretty liberal guy.
Mm-hmm.
But after that incident in Chicago and the reaction, and these bumper stickers that started showing up all over the country, "We support Mayor Daley and his police," he came out with a fascinating column, which I think is one of the most influential columns ever written. And what he said was, well, geez, maybe we are liberal, and maybe there's this whole conservative middle America that we're totally condescending to, that we totally don't understand, and maybe we should be nicer to the conservatives, and maybe we should be nicer to Richard Nixon. And that was in 1969. Early in 1969, and I quote a TV executive who, when they were brainstorming a new magazine show, they're talking about what are the top stories of the day that we should cover. And someone said, well, of course, the civil rights movement. And the executive said, I don't want to see a single black face in this show, because the idea was we can't appear to be liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and the listeners well understand, that's had a profound effect on how our politics has been shaped ever since.
Yeah. Rick Perlstein with us. Nixon Land is the new book. And in the context of the Democratic Convention, 68 in Chicago, There's a powerful new part animated, part not animated feature out called the Chicago 10. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's
I'm skeptical.
Really, well, it took me about 10 minutes to get used to it. Because there were no even still photographs or motion pictures of the Chicago 8 or 7
there
trial.
There were courtroom sketches, and I met some of the sketch artists.
Well, in front of Judge Julius Hoffman, they recreated it using animation.
Right.
And using character voices played by Hollywood actors. And once you get over the animation technique, it's really powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And they use archived footage of the cops as they prepared to riot. It's true. The cops rioted there. They try to, you know, play it the other way.
The federal commission investigating it called it a police riot.
And the famous malaprop of Mayor Daley. The police are here to preserve disorder. I will never forget that. Now, here's another character from that era. Let's listen just a little bit.
Malcontents, radicals, incendiaries, the civil and the uncivil disobedience among our young, SDS, PLP, Weatherman 1, Weatherman 2, the Revolutionary Action Movement, Panthers, Lions, Hippies, Yippies, Tigers alike.
He loved to read laundry lists. You have a site from Agnew in the book where he's reciting all the lines from pop music about drugs.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
I get high with a little help from my friends.
A little more from Spiro.
I'd rather swap the whole damn zoo for a single platoon of the kind of young Americans I saw in Vietnam.
Mr. Agnew again referred to hippies and yippies in this comment.
And if you tell me that the hippies and the yippies are going to be able to do the job, I'll tell you this. They can't run a bus. They can't serve in a governmental office. They can't run a lathe in a factory. All they can do is lay down in the park and sleep or kick policemen with razor blades.
Well, isn't that bizarre?
But we laugh, and it is bizarre. And he was a very strange man.
He would say anything.
But at the same time, we shouldn't merely laugh. This guy was the biggest presidential prospect for the Republicans in 1976. After he started saying that stuff, there were bumper stickers everywhere, Spiro of 76. And listen to his rhetoric. It's very persuasive. The idea that you hardworking Americans, you're the ones who make the country run, and you are the ones being condescended to and looked down upon by these hippies and the liberal media that cottons to them. And that was an enormously powerful political message. And by the way, you know, I'm not so sure that a lot of the people he was criticizing, you know, weren't mountebanks and blackguards themselves. I mean, that's what I'm a little worried about the Chicago 10 movies. You know, Abbie Hoffman was a real jerk.
Mm-hmm. I met Jerry Rubin later in life. He was a creep.
Tom Hayden, during the Chicago 7 trial, was something called the Days of Rage. Do you remember that, Peter?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It was when a bunch of weathermen, actually they hadn't quite become weathermen yet, they were still SDS, decided that they were going to smash up Chicago, smash up the judge's apartment building, and start the revolution. Mm-hmm. And of course, what that meant was they smashed a whole lot of VWs belonging to working class people. And before that rampage began, Tom Hayden gave a speech cheering them on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wasn't anywhere to be found once the crap was going down. So, you know, I mean, I feel a lot of anger at these people, too. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see, if I can see where Spiro Agnew is coming from, you can imagine what the average middle American conservative can see where Spiro Agnew is coming from. And, of course, that was the kind of rhetoric that gave Richard Nixon the biggest landslide in history in 1972, even if he was covering up a criminal conspiracy.
We're going to continue with Rick Perlstein. His new book is a powerful collection of history, and it's a beautifully written narrative. It's called Nixonland. If you have a question or comment about the Tricky Dick era, give us a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can share a podcast of this program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth.
Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Barack Obama for America, Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction, security and health protection. With global warming creeping up on us, we need a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Installing new transmitter. 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless.
KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
On the Peter B. Collins Show, we've set the Wayback Machine for the Nixon era. Late 60s, early 70s. Rick Perlstein's here. Nixon Land is the book. Perlstein, when I look back and compare the current anti-war movement to the efforts back in the Nixon years, I do note that we've been permitted to express ourselves. There have been no stadium lockdowns. There have been no really serious, you know, showdowns between demonstrators and police or National Guardsmen. And we don't have a Kent State currently under the Bush-Cheney regime.
Yeah, I have to sigh. I mean, one of the kind of underlying kind of horizons of this period was the amazing prosperity. It sounds like I'm kind of coming out of left field and making a tangential point. But the fact of the matter is, if you were a kid going to college in the late 60s, you could burn down an ROTC building one day and get a lifetime job at IBM the next.
Mm-hmm.
Kids today are so much more anxious. I mean, that's where you get to the contemporary politics and, you know, just the rack and ruin that the Republicans have made.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the average kid, you know, graduates with $20,000 in debt. California, until Ronald Reagan changed the policy in 1967, had no tuition.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one reason kids, you know, aren't taking the kind of risks that they used to take.
But what about the draft? Just last week, I talked to a young man who's already served in Iraq. He thought he was done, and he got a notice. He's supposed to report to Fort Benning next week.
And he argued that if we had a draft, that this war would have been ended by now because the parents, the rich parents of young men and women who would have been drafted, would have put a stop to it.
Well, of course, the rich kids wouldn't have been drafted. If you'll recall, there were dentists in California who you could pay $1,000 and get emergency orthodontics that would keep you, you know, out of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was that funny Arlo Guthrie movie in which he, you know, pretended to be crazy or whatever it was.
27, 8 by 10 color photos, glossy photos with pictures and arrows. That's Alice's restaurant.
The draft was not exactly an equitable system now.
Ah, but then they went to the lottery, and you're looking at number 4.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, I was a lucky guy.
So what are you doing here? Which unit did you serve in, Peter?
It was the last year of the Vietnamization process, and even though I was number 4, our group was never called.
Yes, and those things kind of happened simultaneously. They had the lottery, which made it much more fair. It was really kind of the local draft boards could pretty much arbitrarily decide who would go to war, and judges used that. You know, they'd say, "Oh, well, you know, you're smashing windows, you're smoking pot. I'm going to send you to Vietnam. You're protesting the war. We're going to send you to Vietnam." It was a cruel and capricious system. Now, the lottery, basically, they took a lottery for which birthday would go first.
Right.
And while that was happening, it was right around the time Nixon was lowering the draft calls and actually bringing soldiers back from Vietnam, while, by the way, telling people who told him he should be bringing people back from Vietnam traitors. You know?
Yeah. Well, he played some of the same games that Bush is currently using of, you know, raising and lowering troop strength around election time, and
right.
It was clearly very politicized. We've got Bob on the line from Monterey. Bob, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hi to Rick Perlstein.
I think that you have an excellent perspective for your book. Take a look at these politics. There are several comments that I'd like to make. Carmel, which is a sister city, well, right next door to Monterey, had a law that was passed during that time period. The law was that you cannot sit on a fire hydrant in Carmel. It's still on the books.
Really?
The reason being that the hippies used to camp out in the park in Carmel, and one day the police chief told a hippie to get off the fire hydrant that he was sitting on. The fellow said, "Well, you know, there's no law against it," so they passed one.
Were you that hippie?
No. I wish I could have been, but I was in business doing all the right things for the wrong reasons at that time. So the second that I'd like to mention is that I was at the event in Carmel where Richard Gage spoke.
Right.
We had about 150 people that showed up for that. It was divided 50-50 of people that were sure that it was inside job. About another half of them weren't sure and wanted to find out. And then there were we counted 12 people that said,
Bob,
there was no possible way it was an inside job.
Bob, let me just mention that you're speaking of Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, who recently gave a talk in Carmel.
I have no idea what he's talking about, actually, so maybe we should go on to the next caller.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about a recent event there. So, Bob, thank you very much. I appreciate you checking
in. One last point. When it was over, hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Quickly, please.
When it was over, it was 100% unanimous that that was an inside job.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Bob. Good to hear from you. And, Rick, we got about a minute and a half here. You have a story for us about Martha Mitchell. And I think it's really important. If we had a Martha Mitchell character in the mix today, things could be very different. We'd know who's been spied on by the NSA.
God, it's where do you start with Martha Mitchell? She was the wife of the Attorney General, John Mitchell, who later became Nixon's campaign manager for 1972. And she was buddies with Helen Thomas, the great, great reporter, White House reporter, who
still
is
on duty.
Still giving him what for at the White House.
And Helen is appearing on a panel with you in Washington on May 20th.
Yeah, at the National Press Club.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, Martha kept on calling her buddy Helen and said, "Something's going on. These guys are planning something. They're whispering whenever I come, and they're I'm sick of this. They're involved in some nasty, dirty tricks." And John Mitchell said, "God love her, she's very tired." And absolutely astonishing story. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. They were at a resort in Orange County with a bunch of the Nixon people for a fundraiser when the Watergate story broke in June of 1972. And one of the guys who was in charge of the burglary was a guy named McCord, who they claimed had nothing to do with the White House. Martha Mitchell knew that he was involved with the White House. And so when that came out in the newspaper, they stole every copy of the newspaper so Martha Mitchell wouldn't see it and drop the dime.
Right. And they blamed her alcoholism as a reason for her incoherent remarks that nobody should pay any attention to. Rick Perlstein here. The new book is called Nixon Land, The Rise of a President and the Fracturing of America. I recommend it to you. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. With Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the result of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Congress wants to wait on storing emergency oil supplies.
Why on earth should we be putting oil underground at a time of record high prices?
I'm Bob Fuss in Charleston, West Virginia, where Hillary Clinton's expecting a big win tonight.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
On this vote, the A's are 97 and the N's are 1. And the previous
as the price of crude oil rose to nearly $126 a barrel today, the Senate voted to suspend purchases for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Democrat Byron Dorgan led the charge.
Who thinks it's smart to go out into the marketplace and take oil that is that valuable and stick it underground, which has the impact of putting upward pressure on oil prices? I mean, that makes no sense at all.
The House is expected to approve the plan by a similar overwhelming vote shortly, and CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports President Bush will not veto it.
Bowing to pressure to be seen taking some action, we're told President Bush will go along with a measure to stop filling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, acronym SPRO, although he has argued against doing just that.
And I do believe it is in our national interest to get the SPRO filled in case there is a major disruption of crude oil around the world.
But a spokesman says Mr. Bush still believes it won't do much to lower the price of gasoline because of the relatively small amount of oil involved in filling the reserve. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Now this.
Dog that lathers really, really fast and rinses clean, like squeaky clean.
Get that New York smell with Douglas Shampoo, new from Dynavite.
They have four miniature dachshunds. They are so frisky and smelling each other and running around and barking. My daughter is 17, and she gives our dogs their baths now. Get that new dog smell with Dogicide. DINOVITE.com.
Ah, nature. The trees, the flowers. The dust, the pollen. The ragweed swaying in a gentle breeze. Well, if the great outdoors isn't great for your eyes, make sure you get Clear Eyes Itchy Eye Relief. It clears up itchy, red, and watery eyes so that you can admire all of nature's wonder. Want Clear Eyes? Get Clear Eyes brand Itchy Eye Relief. Use as directed.
The polls in West Virginia close within half an hour. Let's go live to Charleston and CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The primaries are winding down with only a handful of small states left, but Hillary Clinton looking for a blowout tonight is hanging on. Barack Obama conceded West Virginia. The demographics strongly favor Clinton, and she's expected to win big. But there are only 28 delegates being chosen here, and Clinton's chances of winning over the superdelegates slip away by the day. Obama has gained 27 in just the last week. She's gained none. But tonight, Clinton is here in West Virginia's capital and ready to celebrate a victory while she can. Live at Clinton headquarters in Charleston, West Virginia, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
I'm Dan Raviv. Though West Virginia's not typical, only 5% African-American, the answers given to exit pollsters provide ammunition for Clinton and her argument she can win votes that Obama cannot. Most of her voters today have been women. Low-income whites favor her. And Clinton's voters, if Obama's the candidate in November, almost two-thirds say they'd either vote for Republican John McCain or not vote at all.
In central China, frantic efforts to rescue survivors of the country's worst earthquake in three decades. The official death toll tops 12,000 now, and Sky News correspondent Peter Sharp says it's certain to rise.
The death toll really seems to be growing every hour, and it's not surprising when you think that in some towns, in Niang, for instance, you've got 18,500 people are said to be still pinned beneath the rubble, trapped in what's left of their homes and their offices, and spending another night in darkness waiting for rescue.
Those left unscathed are living outdoors, fearing that one of the many aftershocks will bring their homes down. More than 60 homes on Florida's Atlantic coast have been destroyed, damages in the millions, and wildfires continue to burn. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
Florida Governor Charlie Crist has gotten a bird's eye view of the damage in Brevard County east of Orlando.
Well, it was pretty devastating. I mean, an awful lot of smoke, an awful lot of fire.
Crist says there are more than 100 fires in 14 counties, but none worse than those that have devoured at least 100 buildings, including many homes. Investigators believe those fires were deliberately set. Crist calls that unconscionable.
You know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's why we have good laws on the books. That's why we have good prosecutors, and that's why we have jail. It's to lock people like that up for a very long time.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
When peanuts are kettle roasted, they're extra crunchy, like Planters kettle roasted peanuts. Here to explain, kettle expert Dagmar the Witch.
To make extra crunchy peanuts, you must first prepare your kettle.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
With the fat rendered from boiling children.
Dagmar, we just want to make the peanuts extra crunchy, not the...
Into the kettle, you crunchy, crunchy brat!
No children were harmed in the making of Planters extra crunchy kettle-roasted peanuts.
Drop that kid, Dagmar!
Mmm.
Planters, instinctively good.
Annoying allergies? Switch to Allivert for great allergy relief and incredible savings. Quick-dissolving Allivert bursts into action the instant it touches your tongue, so you know non-drowsy allergy relief is on the way. Claritin can't beat the relief of Allivert, and Claritin costs more. So stick it to your allergies and the higher price of Claritin. Experience Allivert. Visit Allivert.com for your $4 coupon.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 3/23/08 on average price of daily dosage brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We're still stuck in the past. Another half hour with Rick Perlstein now. Nixon Land is the book. You remember this one?
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
That's Barry McGuire about 1966. The Eve of Destruction. Oh, he says 65.
Don't understand what I'm trying to say. Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save. We're the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over. Don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Rick Perlstein with us, and you can read his blog at the Campaign for America's Future. The web address is ourfuture.org. That's where you can find out about his National Press Club appearance on May 20th. Helen Thomas is going to be there trading stories. Chris Hayes, who is a great reporter who writes for The Nation, and Ross
Douthat
of The Atlantic, and Bob Borisage will be moderating that. And the past hour, by the way, I didn't mention that Rick was going to stay over because last hour is going to be replayed in certain places, but he's here for another half hour. So if you have a comment or a reminiscence about the Nixon era, feel free to give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Later this hour, Jason Leopold will join us, and we'll talk about those pesky White House emails that Karl Rove just can't find and his continuing refusal to report to the House Judiciary Committee. Rick, during the break, you and I were trading some reminiscences here, and let's go back to the Kent State episode, because this was a real flashpoint and in some ways a scary turning point.
Yeah.
Because while there had been disturbances and riots, police riots and protester riots, yes, against the Vietnam War, this was a case of very heavy-handed police-state, yes, action, and it had a political component. You and I were talking about James A. Rhodes, the troubled governor of Ohio. He's a guy who I felt was quite corrupt, and he was running for the United States Senate against Bob Taft, a liberal Republican. There were such critters a few decades back, and the conflict at Kent State became a kind of political venue for Jim Rhodes and his campaign.
Yes, he parachuted in, and he said there are not going to be any protests at Kent State. Now, we have to stipulate that he came in and parachuted in and said there's going to be no protests at Kent State after students had burned down the ROTC building. I mean, this was not peaceful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had guys attacking the firemen who were trying to put it out. We had gasoline-soaked rags found that protesters were talking about throwing into gas tanks. So we're talking about really an American Civil War. And what ended up happening was, of course, these scared, stupid 20-year-old, 22-year-old National Guardsmen with no training and who are just terrified that these terrorists were going to throw grenades at them, really just kind of scared kids, ended up shooting four of the protesters.
Yeah.
And, I write about the 60s. Really, as a civil war. I don't write it as a struggle for liberation. I don't write it about it as the hippies taking over and raping our daughters. I mean, you played the Eve of Destruction, the 1965 hit by Barry McGuire.
Mm-hmm.
That same year, in 1965, there was another hit song called The Ballad of the Green Berets,
right,
by Barry McCaffrey.
No, Barry Sadler.
Barry Sadler, that's, yeah, right. Who's Barry McCaffrey?
McCaffrey's your general. Yeah. The Rent-A-General.
Yeah. And so you really, all across the culture, there were these civil wars breaking out. And when the Kent State shootings happened, there was just absolute murderous rage on behalf of the people of Kent, Ohio, at the students. And the most astonishing thing, if you don't mind if I can read a couple paragraphs.
Please do.
The most astonishing thing I found in all my research was the following dialogue. James Michener, the novelist, wrote a very good book investigating the Kent State affair. And he had a team of research assistants going around Kent and interviewing people, asking about their feelings about these four innocent kids who weren't, by the way, even anti-war protesters, who were shot. And one of his interviewees said, anyone who appears in the streets of a city like Kent, which was a nice, calm, small Midwestern city, with long hair, dirty clothes, or barefooted, deserves to be shot. The interviewer came back, have I your permission to quote that? A little incredulous. The person said, you sure do. It would have been better if the guard had shot the whole lot of them that morning. Okay, that's pretty astonishing stuff, right?
Yeah.
It gets more astonishing. But you had three sons there. If they didn't do what the guard told them, they should have been mowed down. And that's the level of murderous rage we saw. And, and I got to say, on both sides, this is May of 1970.
Mm-hmm.
2 months earlier was when the weathermen were basically operating a bomb factory in Greenwich Village, New York, that accidentally blew up, and they were planning to bomb a serviceman's dance. Mm-hmm. You know, they pulled back from the brink, and the weathermen never actually, you know, tried to kill anybody. Yeah. But this is where things were at. And Richard Nixon basically harnessed this seething cauldron of fear and resentment and basically created the kind of Republican fear politics we know now, even though the reality on the ground is nothing like it was then. I mean, they're trying to turn Barack Obama into this, you know, crazy hippie Woodstock loving
because he knows Bill Ayers.
But you know, there's no one shooting anyone in American politics anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no bombings going on anymore. And whether the Republicans can succeed, you know, playing the same script, you know, it's really an open question. I mean, David Frum, the former White House speechwriter, said the Republicans have been running the same presidential campaign since 1972, and it's not going to work that much longer.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's take a minute here to talk about Bill Ayers.
He also lives across the park from me.
I know, and Brian, our assistant producer here, is a friend of his son, Max, and knows the family well.
Yeah.
And I believe that while there is a history to Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn and their violent opposition to the war in Vietnam.
Literally violent.
Yes, I said it appropriately. That to drag that out and try to link it to Obama at this time, and the one little lie that they love to tell that went from Sean Hannity to George Stephanopoulos and then was broadcast on ABC, is that on 9/11, he said, well, we didn't do enough, we didn't go far enough, and I'm disappointed. Well, the history of that is, yes, it was actually published on 9/11. He said it several days before the event.
He said it in his book.
Yeah. Well,
like, you know, that was an interview. Yeah, you're right.
Interview
as if it were a response to 9/11.
Right.
Yes.
And it is misconstrued and you know, conflated in that manner to make it seem like he was dancing on the graves of the Americans who were killed on 9/11.
Yeah, and just to kind of set the record straight, they say Bill Ayers was a terrorist, and they mean you to say in your mind he's the kind of terrorist that drives planes into buildings and kills 3,000 people. And they'll say things like, the weathermen blew up the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the you know, this is not a nice thing, and I don't condone it. In fact, I think it was obscene and destroyed the left, and I hate them for doing that more than any right-winger could. But, you know, they set off a little, like, grenade in a White House bathroom.
It was a pipe bomb.
In like, a remote bathroom of the Capitol.
Yeah.
And they make it seem like they were trying to dynamite the entire U.S. Capitol.
Let's go to Joe in Sacramento. Thanks for listening, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Rick Perlstein.
Oh, yeah. Hi, guys. Just a real quick story about the Agnew family. I don't know if Rick got into any of this or not. I haven't read the book yet, but I want to. He had a son named Randy Agnew, and a couple years or so after Spiro resigned. I lived in Maryland at the time. Spiro resigned in disgrace. His son Randy was arrested as for being a peeping Tom. And the excuse that Randy gave was that he had to go to the bathroom so bad that he pulled off the road. Well, he was found looking in the window of someone's home that had a long meandering driveway. So he had plenty of opportunity between where he parked his car and the window that he was peeping into to go to the bathroom, but he chose to go to the bathroom right by the window, and they called the police, and he was arrested as being a peeping Tom. So I didn't know if he ran into any of the family business, but there was that whole family was a little nuts.
Now, we don't do guilt by association here. We're not going to link Barack Obama to Bill Ayers. We're not going to link Spiro Agnew to the sins of his son Randy, because Spiro Agnew was evil enough on his own. But I would like to bring up a fascinating fellow who knocked off the liberal Republican senator
Joe Tiding
from California, Tom Kuchel, in 1968.
Okay.
And he was a really popular liberal Republican senator, and the guy who ran against him was this absolutely lunatic wingnut named Max Rafferty, who didn't believe in evolution, whose big platform was that they should take the swear words out of the dictionaries and school libraries. And on June 5th, 1966, he won a primary against someone who had once been one of the most powerful and prominent senators. Now, not a lot of people know about this story because it happened the same night that RFK was assassinated. But you do see these kind of sea change movements in American history. Now, the moral of the story while we're talking about crazy right-wingers, was he never won the general election, even though he was heavily favored. And that was because it was discovered a week before the election that he had made up an injury to stay out of World War II while he was, you know, beating up on the hippies for avoiding the draft in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Typical hypocrisy among the Republicans, though. Yeah.
Joe, thank you for your call today.
It's useless to resist us.
And I sit here quivering, hoping that Barbara Walters will not reveal the tryst we had back there in the 70s. We'll continue in a moment with Rick Perlstein. Nixonland is his new book. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start things off in Aromas. Tarpey Road at San Juan Road. Big chunks of oil or tar with gravel in the lanes getting tossed up in the air as cars go by. Definitely drive with caution. Santa Clara County, 152 at Fifield Road. An injured deer apparently hobbling around the roadway. Drive with caution there. In Carmel, Carmel Valley Road at Cheddar Road. An accident with no details in. You have emergency crews on the way. Reports of injuries there. Also southbound 1 after State Park Drive. A piece of plywood. That's between the lanes. And an Aptos. Del Mar Boulevard at Highway 1. We have an accident. Two cars, both off to the right-hand shoulder. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, let us know. Call 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
tickling your memories about the Nixon years. Nixonland is the new book from Rick Perlstein. We're here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Anybody here see my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. You know, I just looked around and he's gone.
You can check out Rick Perlstein's blog at ourfuture.org and pick up the new book, Nixonland, if, you know, this era was important to you in any way. I think that his narrative and fresh look,
Peter,
is something
era,
that you're going
to
enjoy.
You mean this era we're living in now,
no,
right?
The Nixon era.
Well, it's about this era.
And you wanted to make a quick comment about Senator Edward Brooke of Massachusetts, the actual paramour of Barbara Walters. I never had sex with that woman.
Uh-huh.
I want you to know.
Uh-huh.
Let me wag a finger. I never had sex with Barbara Walters.
In the Clintonian sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ed Brooke, those wily Republicans, I can't. You know, as Peter mentions, there used to be something, this very strange species called a liberal Republican.
Yeah.
And Ed Brooke was the Attorney General of Massachusetts, and he ran for Senate in 1966 from Massachusetts and became the first African-American senator since Reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wasn't a raving liberal, but he wasn't a raving conservative either. In fact, Hillary Clinton beat up on him in her famous 1969 Wellesley commencement address. But 1966, 2 years after the Republicans got their butt handed to them by Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society, and everyone said that conservatism was dead and liberalism was the ideology of the future, they did astoundingly well. One of the greatest comebacks in American history in 1966. And the reason they had this astounding comeback was very simple. Race riots and the fact that there was an open housing bill that would make it illegal to discriminate when you sold or rented your home,
mm-hmm.
and the Democrats supported it, and the Republicans didn't.
Right.
And the Republicans were rewarded with 47 new congressional seats. But the day after the election, the Republicans were able to say, the face of the Republican Party is Ed Brooke. And that just proves that we didn't run a racist campaign.
Yeah. And, of course, that was part of the what developed into the Southern strategy,
yeah.
to tie in with the segregationists and move them from the Democratic Party to the Republican.
What's happened?
Let's talk to Steve in Salinas. Hi, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, just one point. Jeff Miller, one of the kids that got killed at Kent State, if you see photographs, he was throwing tear gas back at the National Guard guys. Okay?
So that's in my book. That's in my book.
Oh, okay. I thought you said none of them were war protesters.
At the time. But
at the time, I think he would have been if he was throwing it back. I mean, I'm all on his side, but I
right.
think that is kind of a
misstatement. No, I mean, you make a really good point, and
okay.
I'd want to emphasize it. You're right.
Okay. Hey, what I'm really calling about is I was in the National Guard on that date in California, and the part that blows my mind the most were the kids that chose to go in the National Guard to get out of Vietnam. That's why we all went there, except for the weekend warrior mentality. And these were the guys that shot those kids at Kent State, and it was so vile, and it's so disturbing, because these guys, they wanted to play John Wayne, but they only wanted to do it when it was convenient for them.
Wow.
And it was disgusting that those guys chose to fire on those kids. And I did a lot of research on this because it really bothered me. And to think that nobody ever got really severely punished for that is just a crime.
Well, there was an Ohio grand jury, and they made several indictments. But none of the indictments were of National Guardsmen or people who had anything to do with the shooting. It was all of protesters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you very much. Great to hear from you today. Now to David in San Francisco. You're on the air. David, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Peter. And your guest. You know, I wanted to ask about Nixon's relationship to Ceausescu. But before I did, with that last caller, he was talking about throwing tear gas at Kent State. I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of conservative people
who, if they're attacked, they will throw something back. And if you have a tear gas canister land 5 feet from you, you're going to throw it, away. And it does, for that last caller to say that was a liberal, far from it. Your self-preservation kicks in.
All right, let's go to Ceausescu. Just a minute remaining.
Yeah, no trouble. About 15 years ago, when the first Gulf War started, there was a newspaper here in the Bay Area called War News, mm-hmm. and they had a letter that was purported to be from Nixon, and he was thanking Ceausescu for his relationship to selling military supplies to Saddam Hussein, and apparently it was a relationship with Spiro Agnew and John Mitchell, and I'm wondering if your guest knows about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to comment on, that specific fact because I've never seen it, but Ceausescu was Nixon's favorite communist. And I can tell you for a natural fact that Ceausescu was one of his most important mediators in getting his trip to China hooked up.
Very interesting.
Well, yeah, what was interesting about
David, I'm sorry, I'd love to talk more, but the clock has run. Rick Perlstein, Nixonland is the new book. Congratulations.
Congratulations to you.
Well,
for that luxurious head of hair.
You're a liar, and now they know. Rick Perlstein, read his blog at ourfuture.org. I'm Peter B.
Here's what a song we sing. Feels we would die.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We have a new candidate. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. He's the man who introduced Ron Paul at the big conservative convention last February.
I sure hope that we in this country never, ever have to go through the impeachment of another Clinton. Will you help me make sure we never have to do that?
He's former Georgia Congressman and Clinton impeacher Bob Barr, who made it official. He now wants to be president.
I'll be seeking the nomination of the Libertarian Party, for which I'm a proud life member.
As a congressman, he was a moral crusader, fighting drugs and gay marriage. But that's in the past now. Today, his concern is a government gone nuts.
Since 9/11, the government, particularly this administration under George W. Bush, largely with a compliant Congress under the hands of both parties, has so decimated our civil liberties in this country.
And his other big crusade, cut the federal budget, which means the troops come home.
Many Americans are very upset that we're spending upwards of about $350 million every single day to build the nation of Iraq.
Republicans are worried that Bob Barr could suck away enough votes to do to John McCain in 2008 what Ralph Nader did to Al Gore in 2000 and what Ross Perot did to George H.W. Bush in 1992. He even has Perot's old campaign manager working for him. Would that make him feel guilty?
John McCain and the Republican Party ought to be man enough and strong enough to stand on their own record and not go around whining.
I believe that's a no. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rockets back into the present. We just spent an hour back in Nixon land. Hope you're okay with that. About this time, we check in with Jason Leopold, the investigative journalist who's got his own news website up and in operation. It's called The Public Record, on the web at pubrecord.org. Jason, how are you today?
Pretty good, Peter. How are you?
You must be really busy. I mean, doing your ordinary reporting and running a new website.
Yeah. I have to say that it's definitely keeping me up for a good 20 hours. And
it's good practice. With a baby on the way, you'll never sleep through the night again anyway.
If I just start saying things that make no sense, you know, that's the reason.
We'll chalk it up to, Hillary had that problem too,
sleep,
right?
Sleep deprivation. Yeah, exactly.
Have you recalled any episodes where you landed and there were snipers?
No, but if you read my book, which I know you have, there were moments when I thought I was being chased by the FBI.
Yeah. That book is called News Junkie, and it's still available in so many cases.
And, we'll just say that that is the result of some really bad substances.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to dig into your current article, but before we do, give us a sense of what kind of reaction you're getting here in the early stages of the rollout of the public record.
Well, thanks for asking. It's actually been fantastic, and I have to say that I'm really surprised because the traffic has increased. Just in the past week, we've doubled our traffic. We had an incredible week with, you know, not much publicity, but several thousand readers. We're a nonprofit, 501c3, fully tax deductible, if anyone is, you know, interested in supporting investigative journalism. And it's been really inspiring, I guess you could say, for me to get these, you know, great letters and see people actually, giving some money to, you know, to support these efforts. So, I didn't expect it, and that's also is the reason that I've been sort of working to make sure that we keep content fresh and that there are, you know, it's a place where people can come to regularly. So I'm just pretty amazed and very happy that I decided to do it.
Well, and I'm pleased to see one of your first posts from another reporter is our friend Brad Friedman from BradBlog.
Yeah,
with a story that I was anticipating because I read the New York Times article that talked about voter ID laws and
right.
this new proposal in Missouri, and then gave this fellow Thor Hearn, who is the Darth Vader of American elections, kind of made him seem like the Jabba the Hutt or something. I don't know.
Exactly. In fact, you know, I could say that I'm working on a story tomorrow that should be out tomorrow on Thor Hearn and the fact that he is behind this effort in Missouri to push this state constitutional amendment requiring specific forms of identification before people get to the polls.
Well, it's the most restrictive because it requires proof of citizenship.
Exactly. It requires proof of citizenship. It requires a specific form of identification that some people may not have, such as an original copy of a birth certificate. And he is working with state representative Stanley Cox on this measure, and they want to get this out done and passed if they can. I mean, it would have to go through a referendum, but they want it to to go through before November's election. So and Brad has been I believe the first guy to ever really expose Thor Hearn, Mark Thor Hearn, and his voter suppression efforts, and it was pretty amazing that the Times wrote this story, on what's happening in Missouri. They quote him, but yet they don't say anything about the fact that he's behind this. And then of course leaving out.
And they quoted him minimizing the impact. He was parroting the Supreme Court ruling, saying, "Well, the court didn't find that this was a burden." So, and they published that straight faced.
Exactly. It's sort of the as we see on the cable news outlets sometimes, where we need to get a dissenting voice. We need to get somebody that that just can throw something in there. And clearly, that's what they did here. Why they would quote somebody who's whose efforts to suppress votes have been exposed, and exposed in a way that where you have thousands of pages of documents to back it up, just shows how ill-informed the Times is about this issue. And kudos to Brad Friedman for obviously exposing that.
I think he also has,
by the way, just an updated post. Where the this morning, I believe the Times scrubbed its reference, some reference to Thor Hearn, but did not correct the record, if you will, saying that that they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to get a copy of that. I think Brad just may have just posted it.
All right, and as you're working on your piece, we interviewed yesterday John Hickey, the executive director of Missouri Progressive Vote, and he had some interesting stories about individuals who came to Missouri as refugees from Hurricane Katrina, and they can no longer access birth certificates and other critical records that would permit them to register if this law takes effect in Missouri.
Right.
And it was in that conversation with Hickey that I read the quotes from Thor Hearn in that New York Times article, and I believe skewered him appropriately there.
Well, the term, voter fraud or which I've been pretty well educated on from you, and many of folks out there like Brad Friedman, there's no evidence that there's a systemic problem, and
even in the cases where it's been alleged, there have been very few convictions, and most of it has been for registration errors or, we have yet to find a bona fide case of someone who has been caught and convicted of voting twice or impersonating another individual at a polling place.
Right.
And even the Supreme Court acknowledged that, and yet they went ahead and said, "Oh well, this is not an undue burden to voter participation unless you're a nun, an older person, you don't drive or never did, or a student." I mean, those are just a few categories of people who were unable in the 8-day window after the Supreme Court ruling to get new identification in order to vote in the Indiana primary.
Right, exactly. So here you have an effort to put these real strict voter identification laws in place, and particularly, in Missouri right now, what they're trying to do, in hopes of weeding out what they believe are people voting illegally. But what happens is it comes at the expense of disenfranchising, you know, hundreds of thousands of voters. Robin Carnahan, the Secretary of State in Missouri, said that if this went through, you know, they estimate, they did a study, that it would result in the, you know, disenfranchisement, if you will, of more than 240,000 voters,
mm-hmm.
Simply because, you know, they want to try and keep two people, three people, that perhaps may have made an error. You know, they've yet to show that there was any intent or malice or...
And Jason, just as you and I have now invested a couple of minutes here,
yeah,
in exposing that voter fraud is an empty threat and a non-existent problem, it has served their purpose. Because I believe,
right,
that all of this is a smokescreen to distract us from the much larger issue of election fraud and systematic exclusion of people most likely to vote Democrat. By questioning their registration, taking them off the rolls by scrubbing them, requiring additional ID that prevents people from voting. And we've seen it. It's estimated that as many as 1 million voters, possible voters in Indiana, were purged from the rolls,
right,
and showed up on Election Day and were handed a provisional ballot saying, well, we can't find you on the list, so go ahead and fill out one of these and maybe it'll get counted someday.
Yeah, well, you know... speaking of that, there's the issue regarding what happened with the nuns in,
yeah,
Indiana.
St. Mary's College, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And Robin Carnahan had actually, you know, used that as a way of trying to show that it would result in the same sort of it would have the same sort of effect in Missouri, and you know, she went to a couple of churches and, you know, just spoke to some of the nuns, and they don't have any of that identification.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, clearly, it certainly seems like, you know, that's exactly what this is, a tactic to keep people who would normally vote Democratic from, you know, getting to the polls.
Right. And Thor Hearn is at the intersection as well of the U.S. attorney scandal, which you have reported extensively on.
Yeah, he was the guy that had spoken regularly with Bradley Schlotzman, who was the head of the Civil Rights Division,
mm-hmm,
over at the Department of Justice. And together, Schlotzman and Hearn were pressuring Todd Graves, the U.S. attorney there, to bring, first to file a lawsuit against Robin Carnahan for, supposedly failing or refusing to prosecute, cases of voter fraud. And so Todd Graves was pushed out because of that, which, by the way, you know, is... parallels the reason that John McKay and David Iglesias in New Mexico and Washington State were pushed out.
Right.
Certainly before the November 2006 election, Bradley Schlotzman, who wound up taking the place of Todd Graves, filed this lawsuit against Acorn.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all very interesting, and we will continue to watch it. And, again, I want people to go to pubrecord.org, and they can read the articles we're talking about. Jason, why don't we take our break now, and then we'll come back and talk about Karl Rove, who is unavailable for testimony before the Judiciary Committee, but has time to consult the McCain campaign and appear on Fox News Television.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and return with that. Jason Leopold with us. You want to join us? Call in now. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8255. 8372. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today. You're listening to KRXA 540.
K-
Checking traffic on KRXA. Pretty busy right now. We'll start you off in Monterey, westbound 68 before York Road. An accident with two cars. They're both off to the shoulder, but one car smoking heavily. Fire department and CHP on the way. Look for heavy traffic there. In Aptos, Rio Del Mar Boulevard at Highway 1, two-car crash. That's off to the side. CHP's there taking a report. Heads up in Aromas, Tarpey Road at San Juan Road. Large chunks of oil and gravel in the lanes. Carmel Valley Road at Schetter Road in Carmel. A school bus involved in a crash. No injuries reported there, and CHP's on the scene. Finally, Del Monte Forest, Sloat Road at Bird Rock Road. A minor crash. Two cars are both off to the side. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras, whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. And speaking of elections and election integrity issues, Mark Crispin Miller, the professor from New York University and the editor of the new book about stolen elections called Loser Take All, he is testifying before the House Judiciary Committee on Capitol Hill tomorrow, Wednesday, at 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 a.m. Pacific time. And he's going to be testifying along with Alan Raymond, the GOP operative who went to prison for that phone jamming scheme back in New Hampshire in 2002. And a guy named Paul Twomey, the Democratic lawyer whose civil suit over that matter has apparently been kind of squeezed by the Department of Justice. And so that is tomorrow on Capitol Hill. And you ought to check out C-SPAN because we know that the corporate media probably won't cover an issue like that. Jason Leopold continues with us here on the program. His new news website is pubrecord.org, the public record. And here's one of his new enterprise stories that appears on the website. And this is about Karl Rove and those damn emails. We still keep fighting over this.
Right.
And, Jason, it's interesting because, as I referenced before the break, Rove had time for a lengthy interview with GQ so he could slam Don Siegelman and the whistleblower, Jill something or other in that case.
Jill Simpson.
Simpson, thank you. And more recently, he has refused, and you know, the subpoena from the House Judiciary Committee. He's willing to respond to written interrogatories, but he's not willing to appear under oath.
Yeah.
And yet, as I mentioned, he has time to consult the McCain campaign without acknowledging that, as he serves as a commentator on the Fox News Channel.
It's pretty, I
have to say that I, you know, have been just confused as to how Karl Rove can be given, you know, this platform after having his hands in every, pretty much every scandal that has engulfed this administration since day one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just speaking about this administration. Forget about, you know, the years that preceded that. But, again, you know, just to quote John Conyers, he said that he cannot understand how somebody who would be willing to tell the truth would not do so under oath.
Mm-hmm.
or with a transcript. So again, it begs the question: what is he trying to hide? What is he hiding? Something that's very interesting, with regard to Karl Rove, is the Resco trial,
yeah,
taking place in Chicago,
right?
And which
is supposed to be, sliming Barack Obama,
exactly.
but instead we have a Resco associate who says under oath that he contacted Karl Rove, saying, "Wouldn't we both be better off if Pat Fitzgerald were no longer the U.S. attorney in Chicago?"
Right, right. Well, you know, let me just say that yesterday there were some. You know, I got my hand on some documents, and some of these documents are questions that were asked to Patrick Fitzgerald related to this trial, related to the CIA leak case, but revolving around what did he know that Karl Rove was trying to get rid of him, supposedly, while he was investigating
mm-hmm.
the CIA leak case. And, Fitzgerald did not directly answer that question, but more or less, you know, alluded to the fact that he did, you know, hear that that was something that took place. He did say that, you know, once this trial is over, he would be willing to, you know, provide more information about what he knew regarding Karl Rove and whether or not, there is any substance to that rumor. It's amazing what Karl Rove is able to get away with, and even more amazing that the media continues to give him a platform and just look the other way while, you know, it continues to be involved in these scandals. I have to say that it just fascinates me. To me, this Don Siegelman issue certainly, you know, underscores that Karl Rove was involved in one way or another.
Well, and it's fascinating to me. We went through with Larissa Alexandrovna, who really deserves a lot of credit for bringing attention to Don Siegelman's plight.
Right.
A couple of weeks back, we went through this letter, and I think I counted 59 questions. That
a letter to Dan Abrams.
Yeah, Karl Rove wrote to Dan Abrams after the MSNBC anchor
right.
Allowed Siegelman on the program and provided some coverage where Rove was once again fingered.
Yeah.
And again, you know, he's willing to do various kinds of deeds to try to protect his reputation and attack the whistleblowers
right.
and even the defendant Siegelman in this case. But he's not willing to do it out in the open. He's not willing to do it under oath. He's not willing to participate in a process that would lead to the truth.
Exactly. And I think that, that letter to Dan Abrams, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, it certainly appeared as if he was trying to gather information from Dan Abrams as opposed to really, pretty much finding out what does he know, just to sort of, in a way, just to get an idea of what's out there.
Right.
As opposed to really just trying to put Dan Abrams in his place.
Right. The letter offered no statements of fact on behalf of Rove's side of the story.
Right.
It was just pummeling him with questions that and questioning his journalistic integrity. And in the case of Dan Abrams, gosh, that's a wash. Jason,
yeah. Yeah. I have to just add one thing. I believe firmly that after everything that we've heard now with Karl Rove, I still believe that there was some, last-minute deal that took place with Karl Rove And that is the reason that Patrick Fitzgerald did not come, you know, forward with an indictment. Mm-hmm. I absolutely stand by my reporting, you know, that at that time. I think that the more evidence that comes out, you know, makes me feel more confident in the fact that the information I had been given by my sources was accurate.
Now, you played a despicable role in circulating false allegations about Mr. Rove, according to attorney Robert Luskin.
Yeah. Despicable.
Now,
and when it came time to ask Mr. Luskin, which was recently, several, you know, just a couple of months ago, okay, well, show me the letter, and we'll set it all straight. Well, I refuse to help you, you know, because of the role you played. So you're going to, you know, you don't want to shut this down by, you know, providing me the documentation that would do so. Okay, that doesn't make any sense, but it is what it is.
Yep, it certainly is. So 10 million emails missing, critical time periods related to the start of the invasion of Iraq, the launch of the outing of Valerie Plame, the criminal investigation into that.
Right.
And so we can only speculate. But in your article, you and we only have 20 seconds here, but briefly, you point out that Rove's story that these emails weren't on the government server is apparently false.
Right, absolutely. You know, it's certainly, I mean, how can I say this? I think it's absolutely false. I think that hopefully with the next administration, you know, we'll get to the bottom of it. But I'll tell you this, Peter. Somebody wipe these hard drives clean. This did not happen as a result of a transition from one email program to another.
Could have been the Geeks on Call. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Peter.
Read all about it at pubrecord.org.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The sex is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It looks like a West Virginia landslide. CBS News estimates that when all the votes are counted, Hillary Clinton will win today's primary by a big margin. Live to Charleston and CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
This win, this big win, was expected, and it's why Hillary Clinton is here tonight in the West Virginia Capitol with her supporters ready to celebrate. She had the edge coming in here. Demographics and the state's strong connection with her and former President Clinton helped, and Obama pretty well wrote off the state, but he could afford to. Only 28 delegates are being apportioned tonight, and Obama's overall lead in both elected and superdelegates remains daunting.
I'm Dan Ravine. Though West Virginia's not typical, only 5% African-American, expect Hillary Clinton to use the latest exit poll results to bolster her argument she can win votes that Obama cannot. Women heavily favored her, so did low-income white voters, and if Obama's the candidate in November, two-thirds of Clinton supporters say they'd either vote for Republican John McCain or not vote at all. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Congress has voted overwhelmingly to stop topping off the Strategic Petroleum Reserve until the price of crude oil falls below $75 a barrel. It hit a new record today, $125.80. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Eager to help bring down gas prices, Senator Byron Dorgan got 97 votes in favor and only one against.
With the American consumer being burned at the stake, why should its government be carrying the wood?
The House forced a quick debate, too. Democrat John Dingell said the government should stop buying oil.
Common sense would say to us,
not to take the oil off the market at a time of record high prices.
But Republican John Shimka said it won't do much to halt flow into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Oh, yeah, and claim great victory for lowering prices.
Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The White House says President Bush will not veto the measure. He's flying to the Middle East, where he plans to raise the issue of stepped-up oil production with the ruler of Saudi Arabia.
The demand for oil is so high relative to supply these days that there's just not a lot of excess capacity. And, of course, I'll bring it up to him.
In central China, frightened earthquake survivors spent a second night outdoors for fear that an aftershock might cause their homes to collapse. Mark Law is a fitness trainer who was traveling through the region when the quake hit, tells us the ground has been shaking regularly.
There have been close to 2,000 tremors in 25 hours, of which I think 12 of them had been above 6 on the Richter scale.
The official death toll is over 12,000 and expected to climb. James Garner, who once starred in the Rockford Files, is hospitalized in Los Angeles. Garner's publicist says he suffered a minor stroke at home last week. He's 80 years old. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 44 points to 12,832. The Nasdaq gained 6 points, finishing the day at 2495. This is CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. That's why every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles. Only then is it worthy of the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer, our good name. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4 year 50,000 mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
Ah, nature. The trees, the flowers, the dust, the pollen, the ragweed swaying in a gentle breeze. Well, if the great outdoors isn't great for your eyes, make sure you get Clear Eyes Itchy Eye Relief. It clears up itchy, red, and watery eyes so that you can admire all of nature's wonder. Want Clear Eyes? Get Clear Eyes brand Itchy Eye Relief. Use as directed.
Another argument for exercise that can help prevent breast cancer. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
For a lot of teens, being active comes easy. Now a study in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute finds there's a hidden side benefit for girls later in life. Washington University researcher Graham Colditt says nearly a quarter of later breast cancer cases are prevented among girls who regularly exercise between the ages of 12 and 22.
The equivalent of half an hour of running or 2 hours of walking a day.
And if these girls stay active as women, there's an even further risk reduction. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Vinyl acetate is used in chewing gum. It's a colorless liquid with a sweet, fruity smell. But gum makers might have to come up with a new formula. The Canadian government is considering a ban on vinyl acetate because it's been linked to cancer in laboratory rats. Scientists don't know whether it has the same effect in humans. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Dog that lathers really, really fast and rinses clean, like squeaky clean.
Get that New York smell with Douglas-Sud Shampoo, new from Dynavite.
They have 4 miniature dachshunds. They are so frisky and smelling each other and running around and barking. My daughter is 17, and she gives our dogs their baths now. Get that new dog smell with Douglas-Sud. DINOVITE.com.
Ah, nature. The trees, the flowers, the dust, the pollen, the ragweed swaying in a gentle breeze. Well, if the great outdoors isn't great for your eyes, make sure you get Clear Eyes Itchy Eye Relief. It clears up itchy, red, and watery eyes so that you can admire all of nature's wonder. Want Clear Eyes? Get Clear Eyes brand Itchy Eye Relief. Use as directed.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll be on the road later this week, bringing our program to Missoula, Montana, and our affiliate, KMTP. That's Thursday and Friday, live from Big Sky Country. Just about every week, we like to check in with Melanie Sloan at CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, because if we don't check in every week, there's too much going on the ethic and ethically challenged front. Melanie, how are you today?
Excellent, Peter, but as usual, there's a lot going on.
There certainly is. McCain, Vito, or Vitter? Let's let you choose the order today.
I think Vito, don't you? That's just really not to be missed, and perhaps your listeners out there on the West Coast might not know as much about this.
Vito Fossella, the only Republican from the New York metropolitan area to serve in Congress, and a little DUI led to discovery of a mistress and a love child.
Right. It seems that Mr. Fossella's family values are pretty much in line with Warren Jeffs of the fundamentalist sect of the Latter-day Saint Church, that he should have more than one, you know, spouse if he wants.
Yeah.
He didn't actually marry this other woman, but he did tell her he was separated from his wife and was going to marry her. But, you know, I guess that's been said before.
Oh, those are just more of those idle male promises that Lee Marvin made famous.
Apparently she and the current wife are both currently very upset about the situation. But interestingly enough, Mr. Fossella was taking a little time out to, and his spokesperson advised us all that he was going to spend some time with his family during this period. And so begging the question,
which one?
Which?
And I'm trying to recall this little factoid, Melanie. Where did he come from when he got picked up for the DUI at double the legal limit?
Oh, her house. In a car, by the way, that was leased by his aunt and uncle for her. Because apparently it was his uncle that was helping support her.
Oh.
Yeah, these are a lot. There are lots of little facts. And Mr. Fossella is, in fact, one of those family values Republicans who is was big on the impeachment of Bill Clinton and doesn't speak to his gay sister because she doesn't embody the family values that he personifies.
Well, that's just a beautiful, beautiful picture.
It gets better, doesn't it? And it also turns out that Mr. Fossella was using taxpayer dollars to take trips, for example, to France with his lover. She was a lieutenant colonel who was in charge of Air Force affairs over in Congress when their affair began, and she was responsible for arranging CODELs, congressional delegations to foreign countries, and Mr. Fossella and Ms. Fay began having a relationship on those CODELs, and Speaker of the House Hastert discovered this whole thing and then had her transferred because he of the Family Values platform believed in covering up for his colleague, much like he did for Mark Foley, the congressman who is best known for his emails soliciting underage pages.
Right, males.
Male pages.
In his case, yeah. So these CODELs, wasn't there one trip to Paris where the parameters were set so that only Vito and Fay actually qualified for this government-paid boondoggle?
That's exactly right. And generally, there's not a lot of congressional investigation to be done in Paris. But they managed to go and have their affair, again, funded at taxpayer expense, which is probably a criminal violation, not just a mere ethics violation. But certainly, even if it was an ethics violation, he wouldn't have to worry about, say, the House Ethics Committee, which has never found an ethics violation it can't abide.
Now, Paris is for lovers, but hey, at least Vito didn't go play golf in Scotland with Jack Abramoff.
Right, and I guess we should feel better about that because he wasn't actually selling his office to somebody else for top dollar. But that said, it still seems problematic to us at CREW that he was both first preaching family values while having two families, and second, that he was using taxpayer dollars to conduct his affair, all while preaching economic scarcity.
So I'm sure the Republican caucus is going to deal with this firmly and quickly.
Right. Well, they're saying that we shouldn't railroad poor Mr. Fossella, and I think that they think, you know, watching, say, David Vitter, who's certainly on our list to discuss tonight as well, and Larry Craig, that you can weather these kind of storms. And, you know, this is, in fact, what's keeping the Republican Party in the minority.
Yeah, it is fascinating to see them hunker down. And we have heard John Boehner and others strongly suggest that Mr. Fisella should have resigned over this past weekend. But there is no real mechanism to force that. And sure, they'll take him off committees and assign him to the worst office in one of the buildings. But they are kind of stuck, aren't they, if he doesn't resign?
They are kind of stuck, and so far it looks like he's planning to stick it out and will run for re-election. But the thing that what I think will happen here is this case reminds me of that of Don Sherwood, a Pennsylvania congressman in 2006, who was caught having a long-term affair with a young Republican that he picked up at a young Republican convention. She was in her 20s. He was in his 60s. And then he was beating her, and that's how the affair came to an abrupt halt after he was choking her and the police were called. And he stuck it out and stayed in the race, and eventually his constituents decided that was just a little too much for them.
That featured, I'm sorry, Melanie, one of the most bizarre television commercials for a campaign I've ever seen, because I think it was Mr. Sherwood's wife who said, well, yeah, he had an affair, but he never beat her.
Right. And I will say that so far, Mr. Fisella's wife, although she showed up at his press conference, didn't stand there with him like, say, Elliot Spitzer's wife and David Vitter's wife and Larry Craig's wife.
Yeah.
So apparently things aren't all good at home. But Mr. Fisella seems to be planning right now to stick it out, run for re-election, and I am hard-pressed to imagine that there are too many of his female voters who will be willing to cast another vote for him.
Melanie Sloan with us from CREW. Their website, citizensforethics.org. Take a look. Now, David Vitter has skated. The D.C. madam committed suicide, and he did not have to testify in the trial where she was convicted of pandering and tax fraud and a few other things. But the Senate Ethics Committee actually met and considered his case and said, bad boy, go away.
Right. I have to say that, you know, the thing that bugs me most about the D.C. madam case is not only that she was ultimately convicted of RICO and so was facing over 10 years in jail, but there were also a significant number of women who were no longer prostitutes but had been prostitutes and worked for her who were forced to testify, ruining many of their lives. One who was in the military lost her job immediately. And so there were all these terrible consequences for all of these women, and yet all the men involved skated by. And it seems like to me, this is sort of off our general point, but in 2008, it was all the women who were being punished for sex, and all the men walked away, which seemed pretty terrible. And none perhaps worse than David Vitter, who remains a senator from Louisiana, despite having basically admitted to using the services of the D.C. madam, and probably another prostitute in Louisiana who's also talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
There is, however, one, I think, sort of interesting element to the letter from the Senate Ethics Committee, which, of course, did, in fact, dismiss the matter, saying that they found that they had no specific jurisdiction. They did say in their letter that while they made no factual findings with regard to the conduct alleged in the complaint, and it was a CREW complaint that they were considering, they did note that they wanted to make very clear that they dismissed this matter without prejudice and that they didn't. It shouldn't be taken as approbation or acceptance by any member of the committee of the kind of conduct alleged in the matter. In fact, if proven true, they would find it reprehensible. And also, in dismissing the complaint without prejudice, they reserve the right to reopen the investigation should new allegations or evidence be brought to their attention. So basically, should he solicit the services of a prostitute while he is a senator, they'll act on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just another sorry process here from an ethics committee in the Congress. The House and Senate committees are shameful in the way they operate, and there is an attempt to make some modest reforms on the House side, but as you and I have discussed, they're really pretty empty. And bottom line is we cannot permit our elected officials to police themselves because they don't.
Right, and I think, truthfully, that's why we're seeing a new ethics scandal really every few months. It's they're not far and few and far between. They're very frequent, and members are no longer resigning. Like Vito Fisella is not resigning because he doesn't have fear of any serious sanctions. There's not a lot of disapproval by your colleagues. Let's remember that David Vitter got a standing ovation after this first came out from the Republican conference. And if they stick it out, they get to keep their seat, and there's no shame left, and the ethics committee certainly won't act under Republicans or Democratic rule.
Yeah, it's really sad. Melanie, tell us a little bit about Cindy McCormick. McCain. We learned today that she has canceled a book deal. She was going to write a book and apparently has decided that she doesn't want to bother or doesn't want to be exposed in that manner. And she recently has taken a very hard line, saying that she will not, under any circumstances, release her tax returns.
Right, well, maybe she canceled the book deal because of those privacy concerns she was spouting last week over her tax returns.
Yeah.
Hard to argue that you want a lot of privacy when you're writing a book
mm-hmm.
about your life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, in fact, what she was trying to argue, and she's saying she won't release her tax returns because of privacy concerns. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's a public, she has a public life, and when somebody decides to run for the president of the United States, their tax returns tend to be released as a matter of course. The fact that she files returns separately from her husband, to me, that's really a red herring, and she is just anxious not to have those returns reveal perhaps any kind of conflicts between her holdings and the kind of votes her husband's taking.
Yeah, and also it might reveal the use of that jet, which McCain continues to use in his campaign, despite the questions that have been raised and the fact that he's enjoying a loophole in the legislation he wrote, the McCain-Feingold law.
That's right. I think you and I talked about this last week, that particularly when McCain's campaign had no money, he was taking advantage of this loophole that he closed for everybody else so that nobody else, no other senators could, or senators who weren't rich enough to have a spouse with a private or corporate plane, couldn't use corporate jets at first-class rates. They force them to pay the charter rate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a spouse with that plane, you can get out of that loophole. So Mr. McCain was using Cindy McCain's jet to go around the country. And there were also deadhead flights, meaning the planes go to pick him up after or drop. It would be an empty plane that he wouldn't
right.
have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. McCain is certainly not the good government reformer he tries to portray himself in the press, and I think that we're going to be seeing more and more of that as time goes by. I mean, certainly the fact that over 50 of his campaign staff are lobbyists, including Charles Black, one
mm-hmm.
of his top staffer, who says that he conducts lobbying from the Straight Talk Express bus, that's pretty troubling, and I think people are going to hear a lot more about that.
Well, and they forced out the lobbyist who was going to run the convention in Minneapolis because of his direct ties to the regime, the junta, the military dictatorship in Burma. So, Melanie, thank you. Stay on it. Maybe we'll get to see Cindy's tax returns sometime before November.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. She's appropriately skeptical. That's Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Your calls are next in the Free Speech Zone, and I feel a panic attack coming on before the end of the hour. I understand Tommy Panic is in West Virginia, the scene of the primary today. That's all ahead. Give me a call if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Checking traffic on KRXA starting this time at Aptos, Rio Del Mar Boulevard at Highway 1, an earlier two-car crash that's still clearing up off to the shoulder. In Aroma's Tarpey Road at San Juan Road, big chunks of oil and gravel reported in the lanes. Caltrans sweeper on the way to start cleaning some of that up. For Salinas, River Road northbound at Highway 68, the left turn signal apparently stuck on red. That's causing delays in the area. And for Monterey, westbound 68 before York Road, a two-car crash that should be in the final clearing stages off to the shoulder. Highway 17 as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls, no accidents, with the usual slowing once you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Subway. Try the new Subway Big Philly Cheesesteak, fresh toasted with delicious mounds of tender steak and melted cheese. The beefy Big Philly Cheesesteak, only at Subway. Subway, eat fresh. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're here in the Free Speech Zone, taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Thank you so much, Evis. 25 minutes after the hour. I welcome your calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. So if you want to talk about any of the topics we've discussed today, about prescription drug marketing, about the Nixon era, Rick Perlstein was great. I really enjoyed going back in time to talk with him about the Tricky Dick period. And Jason Leopold talked with us about voter suppression, these onerous voter ID laws, including the most restrictive one proposed in Missouri. And there's plenty else to talk about, too. Did you see Doug Feith was on Jon Stewart's Daily Show last night, and I was cheering Stewart on because there was Doug Feith trying to offer that revisionist history about how we got into this mess in Iraq. And I have to say, Stewart, who is not always the most able interviewer, really took him on well. So if you saw that and want to talk about it, give us a call. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open if you want to join me right now. We've got Peggy on the Central Coast up first. Hi, Peggy.
Hello, Peter B.
How you doing?
All right. How are you doing?
I'm holding
You've
up pretty well.
You've got great hold music.
Oh, well, thank you. We we entertain ourselves here in the studio while radio listeners have to listen to commercials.
Okay. I called for one reason, just to I wanted to say I don't understand if anybody else in this, you know, it seems like if somebody's done something questionable, that they go get arrested and they get brought to testify. Why is Karl Rove just being given a pass?
Well, because he's above the law.
I mean, I don't get this.
He's the architect of George W. Bush's messianic presidency. You wouldn't want to mess with that, would you?
I still don't get it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had actually called because I was there's a fellow that's performing the next couple weekends up in San Francisco, and I wanted to get a couple of tickets for you if you were interested.
Well, who's that?
Wes Nisker.
Oh, Scoop.
Yep. Yep.
Well,
one of my big heroes.
I ran into him last Sunday morning at a radio station in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. And I was thinking he'd be a great periodic interview, but anyway.
Well, you know, I haven't had him on this program.
Yeah.
He's been on with me in the past on other shows, but
yeah.
That's a great reminder. He's a really interesting guy.
Well, he has such a broad perspective with his Buddhist practice and so on.
Yeah. He also did a great job with the news reporting that he did over the years, and he, of course,
exactly.
coined the phrase, if you don't like the news, go out and make some of your own.
Exactly.
And he used to do incredible things with interviews with what we called people on the street.
Yeah.
And so I have a high regard for him. I'll
yeah.
tell you what, Peggy, we'll just take the plug under advisement here.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to go see Scoop's show. I'm out of town this weekend because I'll be in Missoula.
Yeah.
But I'll see if I can...
It's the next couple weekends at the Marsh.
Uh-huh. All right.
Friday and Saturday night.
Well, I'm really glad you mentioned that because he's a worthy man, and I hope people who hear this will go out and see him at the Marsh.
All righty.
Okay, Peggy, thanks for
easy.
The call today. I appreciate
Bye.
That. I've got lines open. We're going to take a break here and return in the free speed zone. It's yours to use or lose. Just don't abuse. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. And you've got an iPhone or a BlackBerry, a Trio, one of those fancy phones, check out the website phoneshow.com, spelled with an F, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. There are clips from the Peter B. Collins Show that you can listen to on your fancy cell phone. That's phoneshow.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For me, it started in the fields. It started seeing people sick and dying from pesticide poisoning. I'm Bill Monning. I'm a candidate for Assembly today because working together, I know we can make a difference. I brought growers, workers, and neighbors together to take on the chemical companies. That fight took me to Sacramento, where I helped pass bills that have protected workers, rural residents, and our environment. I'm Bill Monning. Working with people to improve our lives and build our community is what is most important to me. For the past 35 years, I've raised a family here, taught at the Monterey Institute and the Monterey College of Law, and worked to build mediation alternatives to legal disputes. My latest project is bringing conflict resolution into our schools to keep kids from resorting to violence. Now I want to take those mediation skills to get things done in Sacramento. Join our campaign. To volunteer for Monning for Assembly, call 655-1792 or check our website, billmonning.org. Paid for by Bill Monning for Assembly.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain naturally for you, your children, and even your pets. With 8 professionals, techniques like quantum biofeedback, homeopathy, infrared and ozone steam saunas, and lymphatic drainage are used to help rid your body of toxins, which can cause disease. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic pain for years. Trina Hammack uses state-of-the-art quantum biofeedback and Rolf structural integration. I feel better physically and mentally. Cornerstone also offers ionic foot baths, massage, organic microcurrent facials, and the latest in body strengthening and corrective exercise specifically designed for your body so you'll start living pain-free. Tired of taking medicines? Cornerstone uses homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils. Finally, an alternative that really works is here for your entire family. Cornerstone Wellness Center at 1088 Cass Street in Monterey. Call 373-6204. 373-6204.
Yeah.
dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3,
free speech zone is yours. Call me now, toll free, 888-5 Peter B, 888-573-8372. And the polls have been closed in West Virginia about 25 minutes now. I already have an alert from the Washington Post telling me the outcome of the race, but I'm not ready for that yet. Because we've invested a minor amount of cash in dispatching our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, to West Virginia. And he checks in with us live right now from the state with more white trash than I think any other in the union, and five big electoral votes delegate votes up for grabs in the primary there that is occurring today. Tommy, where are you?
I am in Kanawha County, more specifically, Peter, in Charleston, West Virginia, the largest city in the state. The land where, as the state saying goes, mountaineers are always free. I should say that I have heard some dueling banjos.
Oh, really? Already?
I have, yeah. You don't have to get too far out of town to to hear that. 75% of West Virginia is covered in fairly thick forest.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be careful when you go into that forest. But it's also the state where it is legal to collect and eat roadkill. Something I did earlier today, posing as a city maintenance man responsible for scraping what the citizens don't get. And I got to say, times are pretty tough here in West Virginia. Hillary Clinton talking a lot about the economy and getting the roadkill off the road, not a terrible idea. And I know talk of all this roadkill, it almost seems like I'm headed towards some vulgar Hillary joke. So I'll just say that while Barack Obama adds more superdelegates, Hillary, who was in it to win it, now she's in it desperately hoping an invitation to be VP is still possible, despite all the ugly politicking. By the way, Peter, the squirrel is decent, but the raccoon is especially good.
Well, you know, I have a neighbor who has a bumper sticker that says, "Squirrel, it's not just for breakfast anymore." That must have come from West Virginia.
In tough times, that is true. Now, instead of coming down here to West Virginia, you might know this already, Barack Obama was in Washington voting on that bill meant to protect the collective bargaining rights of cops and firefighters. But here in the land of roadkill, man, Senator Clinton continues to rail on about a gas tax holiday. I mean, why not just promise shopping sprees for the women, blowjobs for the men, and root beer floats for all the kids, even though they don't vote? I mean, seriously, you got to wonder what this pair of panderers, Mrs. Clinton and also Mr. McCain, what are they thinking? I mean, you get the desperation from her, but why him at this point? I mean, from her, it's like last call at a singles bar. It's like where McCain has met many a lobbyist. And Hillary's actually probably been seen in search of our 42nd president. But, I mean, politicians doing and saying anything to get elected, it's annoying. Yeah, I mean, even if it makes no economic or even social policy sense, don't we deserve better?
Now, have any candidates said that if West Virginia supports them, that they will advocate the legalization of marrying your sister?
That has been floated out there, and none of the candidates really want to talk about that. Mitt Romney, if he were here, might have something to say, but nobody has really talked about it. I mean, and I just wanted to say, it's okay if most Americans don't understand what a gas tax is. That's fine, but we need our leaders. They need to understand. And this is a new feature of the Tommy Panic segment, Peter, solving problems in a short soundbite. Here you go. You raise the gas tax $1 a year for the next 5 years. You use the cash. You fund massive transportation infrastructure. I'm talking highways, roads, bridges, trains, light rail, all that stuff. And you launch a national green project. It's really the only way that people are going to get out of their SUVs and away from the oil, the carbon emissions, even drive-ins, fast food would suffer in such a world. So we need people giving the people, the minions, the incentive and the ability to do it. Instead, we've got Clinton and McCain who don't even understand Econ 101 or what's best for America. I'm still waiting for the candidate who demands that corporate taxes be raised.
Well, that would be breathtaking, wouldn't it?
That would be nice. Instead, we hear about Reverend Wright, and we hear about McCain's guy, Reverend John Hagee, the guy that called Roman Catholicism a false cult, which I thought was a fair assessment of most organized religions. But instead, we're just going to get more on this. Ultimately, who cares? It doesn't matter. And I mean, you and I think you talked about this on your show. McCain, giving that speech a couple months ago in L.A., talking about foreign policy, basically wanting to play musical countries in the G8, wanting to eliminate Russia. What did he do? Wanted to add India and Brazil, wanted to exclude China. So that's a good idea. Just actively excluding and even hostility towards two major powers. I mean, Bush has already alienated the Middle East against us. Now McCain wants to piss off the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And who are the extremists?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, and then Cindy McCain, she'll turn 54 a week from today, by the way, an heiress to a beer-distributing fortune. She's worth about $100 million, which is nice. Not quite Mitt Romney money, but it's pretty good coin. She's also a former Percocet and Vicodin addict. Did you know about this?
Oh, yeah, right. And she also
was
a...
never in the KKK, though, unlike... Unlike Robert Byrd, the senator in West Virginia, the land in which I stand. She looks completely intoxicated by the limelight, doesn't she? She looks like she needs to be inflated each morning.
She was like, also a partner with Charlie Keating in a shopping center investment in Phoenix. And
nice.
They're trying to help us forget that.
Has there ever been a more vapid first lady? lady. Oh, well, there's the current holder of that title, but we don't need to talk about it. But here in Charleston, West Virginia, you've got Hillary using history to try to make her case. She talked about the fact that West Virginia is, you got to go back to 1916, where someone became president without winning West Virginia. So she's got to understand what happens in the past doesn't necessarily predict the future. But, Peter, I'm done scraping roadkill for now. Remember, the squirrel is decent. The raccoon is downright good. But Kentucky and Oregon coming up next week for the candidates, I'd say look for more of the same from Obama, a kinder, gentler Hillary, probably more pandering to Obama and the need to defeat McCain, even though she sounds like him, than pandering to the constituency, although she'll keep babbling about that gas tax holiday, I'm sure. But, Peter, I'm going to be in Kentucky in the coming days. I'm going to follow the candidates, and I'm going to tour some of the handcrafted small-batch bourbon whiskey distillers, and I'm going to see what the bourbon drinkers of Kentucky have to say about the race for the White House. But for now, from the land of white people, Charleston, West Virginia, I am off.
Thank you, Tommy Panik, for an excellent report. Appreciate his comments there from the great state of West Virginia. If you've got a reaction or a comment, give me a call right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And now I'm going to click on this link from the WashingtonPost.com. News alert. This is about the outcome of the West Virginia primary. New York Senator Hillary Clinton claims an easy victory in the presidential primary. We don't know the stats yet because it's very early in the vote counting, but it's very clear that she will walk away with a big percentage of the popular vote in West Virginia, which, as we pointed out, has 5 delegates to the Democratic National Convention, and it will not make a whit of difference in the ultimate outcome of the campaign. So she'll have a moment of victory, and maybe that could be her cue to exit stage left. I'd like to see that. I really think it's time. Even many of her supporters and some former supporters, superdelegates who have switched to Obama, acknowledge that the math does not allow her to win. The only way she could become the nominee is to do a whole lot of damage to Barack Obama or for him to self-implode. And they've been betting on that for a long time now. And I don't think it's going to happen. And this is a little bit, how can I put it, edgy. But I'm about to read you an email from a guy who sends me stuff 4 or 5 times a week. And he writes under the name Sven, S-V-E-N, and the initial K. And I don't know exactly how Sven got my email address. There is a guy named Sven who does great natural sound effects, who is a performer with the folks at Planet Cruise in Santa Cruz, and I'm not sure if this Sven is the same Sven as that one. But anyway, this guy writes, and it's kind of a stream of consciousness thing, and I'll have to scrub some of his language here. He says, "Dear Hillary, go scorched earth, baby, like Sherman's effing march, baby. Look, you don't need Obama. He's a joke, a lightweight. He's too green and immature to be president. No one buys it. Of course, the media elites are trying to write the script for this thing, but dude, we're only in the second act. The tail, parentheses corporate media, is trying to wag the dog, the American people," says Sven. "They're trying the old Goebbels trick, long enough and loud enough." So then he goes on to say, "Go green for rich people, offshoots, want Obama to give them tax breaks and to promote this anti-American, transnational, global capitalist thing." Huh? "He's the symbol that America is dead and that Americans have to assume a new subordinate role, in the multicultural work farm." And work farm is capital W, capital F. And then he says, "F that." So I think you get the idea that this is a kind of rambling rant, a stream of consciousness such as it is. But it embodies, in many ways, the Clinton supporters who really are, I don't know, they're so angry. They're so resentful. They felt entitled to her nomination. And now they really don't care about the future of the country. And I'm just talking about this guy. I don't want to overgeneralize to every Clinton supporter. But this is an example of somebody who, you know, really won't let go and is full of anger and hate and, in my view, doesn't see the danger of a John McCain presidency. So instead, he wants to take down Barack Obama. So he goes on, that's why you must fight him all the way to the convention. It's for the good of the country. You know he's bad for America. He and his kind want to destroy whatever used to be good about this country in order to have their revenge on the WASP and his values that built America. So this is a racist undertone saying that Obama is bad for America and he and his kind want to destroy whatever used to be good about this country. I don't get that. That's irrational in my view, but this is his point of view. The media entertainment industry want Obama to vindicate and validate the global S-hole hip-hop youth culture, which is daily turning American kids into illiterate savages so they can sell even more trash to them. The TV generation and internet twerps are tribal. They cannot reason properly. They are post-literate Western man. They see the world through myth and symbol. They think associatively rather than make inferences. In a sense, they are primitive-minded. This is why Obama is so appealing to his followers. They don't have to think about what he says. That would take alphabetizing. And they can't anyway. They don't read, so they have no internal monologue. They have no powers of judgment or discernment. Well, I'm going to stop here. And I think you understand that this is a screed. But it really troubles me, because I've been reading this guy's rants for several months now, and he used to be more reasonable. He used to argue about the issues. He used to argue about a good-spirited competition between the Democratic candidates. And now he's descended into a spewing of hate that isn't even really very sensible. And it doesn't take into account even the things that Hillary Clinton stands for and the issues that she represents well. It is a kind of mean-spirited, an angry attitude. And this isn't driven by feminism. Sven very clearly is a male. But it is driven by racism. And I think it's a snapshot of a very ugly part of our country at this point in time. We're going to take a break and return. I've got lines open if you want to join me here with some free speech. 888-5, Peter B. is my number, 888-573-8372. And if you're in Oregon and you've already voted by mail or you're getting ready to, give me a call and tell me what you think about the outcome of your primary. It's going to be an important one coming up shortly here. They'll announce the results. 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Couple of problems for Highway 1 as we get into our final report this evening. Aptos, southbound 1 after Soquel Drive, 2-car crash. That just came in. No details as far as lane. CHP is on the way. From Monterey, northbound 1 before Aguajito Road, 2-car crash. All the activity there in the center divide. Also in Monterey, westbound 68 before York Road, earlier 2-car crash. That's pretty much gone now. Tow truck should be on the scene hooking those cars up. River Road northbound at Highway 68. Left turn signal stuck on red. That may be causing some delays. 17 as you go through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checking in, stalling accident free. This report brought to you by Western Union. Do you want to surprise a loved one with a great gift? Share your tax rebate by sending the gift of cash through Western Union. Visit an agent location today. Western Union, you're never far apart. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Most mattress commercials feature a laundry list of brands the stores carry. You've heard the familiar names, and they count on that. So no matter what new model is introduced, no matter how good or inferior the components in that model, you'll still relate to the brand. SC41 Furniture carries its own brand, and we think that's good. because we want you to judge our mattress on its quality and comfort, not just the name. At our store, you can see everything that goes into our mattresses. The durable slat suspension we adjust to each person, the high-grade carbon steel coils that hold their tension and deliver excellent support, latex cushioning made with air-circulating channels and free of all harmful chemicals, ultra-clean wool lining, and stretch cotton mattress covers that feel soft next to your body. You'll find this unique mattress made with only the highest quality components at one place, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz, on the web at sc41.com.
My name is Todd Hornick, and I'm a candidate in the June 3rd election for Monterey County Superior Court Judge. As a prosecutor for 17 years, I represent you in court nearly every day. In fact, I have more Monterey County courtroom experience than all my opponents combined. I'm asking you to join with the great majority of Monterey County law enforcement associations who are supporting me, Todd Hornick, because of my commitment to victims' rights, a safe community, and the orderly administration of justice. Ask yourself, what makes a good judge? It takes knowledge of the law, the system, a sense of fairness, and the ability to treat every case as unique as the person standing in the courtroom. Judges see hundreds of cases each month, and each one requires the judge's full attention, and I can commit to serving this community for decades to come. I'm Todd Hornick, and I have all the necessary skills and abilities and represent your best choice for Monterey County Superior Court Judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Said the fight to make ends meet, keep the man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can be bought. Who takes every kind of people?
Oh, yeah, it takes every kind of people, even a Sven K. Seven minutes before the hour, Donna joins us calling from Oregon. What town, Donna? Hello, Donna? Going once. Hello, Donna. Oh, I guess Donna's call dropped. Call us back, Donna, if you can. She's in Oregon and said that she just voted by mail. And I think it's a very interesting process because most Oregonians don't actually go to their polling place. And so the process is a little bit different, where that whole deadline of trying to make your choice and cast your ballot on election day itself kind of goes away. And the efforts of the campaigns and the media to influence your vote often miss the mark because they're thinking in the traditional sense of hitting you right before Election Day, in which case many people have already voted. And we saw here in California the disappointment in the Democratic presidential primary this year because there were many people who voted absentee. We don't have a formal vote-by-mail program in California, but many people use the same mechanism by asking for an absentee ballot even if they're not planning to be away on Election Day. And a number of California voters were deeply disappointed because they cast a vote-by-mail, an absentee ballot for John Edwards. And then just a few days before the primary actually occurred, he bailed out. And so they felt that their vote was kind of wasted in that respect, and I can understand that. So I'm curious how the process works and how you view it. So if you'd like to share that with me, give me a call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I did not know that Tom Seaborn, our buddy at KGOE in Eureka, has a blog. And he just sent me a link to it, and in part it's a question for me and Tom Hartman and Mike Malloy. He said, it was brought to my attention that there's a bill in the U.S. House that would amend the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, known as the Clean Water Act, and that it would clarify the jurisdiction of the United States over its waters. And I haven't taken a look at the text of the bill here, but I will investigate that, Tom, and if I have an opinion, I'll certainly share it with you. Also on Tom's blog here is a commentary on his visit last week with Cynthia McKinney, the former congresswoman from Georgia, who is the Green Party candidate for president. And Tom writes, I had the pleasure of doing a short interview with her and was impressed. Cynthia McKinney is articulate, charming, not afraid to speak truth to power. She's even willing to talk about the inconsistency surrounding the attacks of 9/11. I have a serious problem with the official conspiracy. You're not alone, Tom. Although I'm not currently registered Green, I'm now seriously considering making the change. The Green Party represents many of the same values I believe in: the environment, workers' rights, health care, nonviolence, and the quest for truth. Cynthia, you may just have made a Green out of me. Interesting. You can find Tom's blog at tomonkgoe.blogspot.com. That's Tom on KGOE, all one word, tomonkgoe.blogspot.com. And there's even a picture of Tom here with Cynthia McKinney. That's pretty cool. Oh. You got to check out the blog. He's got some R-rated pictures. One is said to be a very young Dr. Lara. Gosh, is that from the Bill Balance era? And also there's a picture of Stephanie Miller unleashed in her dominatrix outfit. I've never seen that before, but that's something that you can check out. Again, tomonkgoe.blogspot.com if you'd like to check that out. And also let me find this email. We talked earlier today with Rick Perlstein about the Nixon era and also about his wacky vice president, Spiro Agnew. And we'll just identify this as a teacher in Pacific Grove writes, I don't know if you're aware, but there's an anagram for Spiro Agnew. You rearrange the letters in his name and you've got grow a penis. No, I didn't know that. Donna is back from Oregon. What town are you in, Donna?
I'm in Coos Bay, Oregon.
Coos Bay. And have you already voted by mail?
I already have voted, yes.
And how does that feel? Do you prefer that to the pressure of going to a polling place?
Oh, it's much more convenient, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And what about, do you wait until very close to Election Day to make your decision, or was your mind made up and whatever other people say just doesn't matter?
No, I don't wait. My mind was made up, and I just went ahead and voted right as soon as I got my ballot.
All right, great. Donna, I'm out of time, but thanks for checking in today. I appreciate it. We're going to do this again tomorrow. I hope you'll join me for the Peter B. Collins Show.
We meet again.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A crowd waits in Charleston, West Virginia, where Hillary Clinton is expected within minutes to celebrate her big win in today's primary. CBS News estimates she's soundly beaten Barack Obama with support from every major demographic group. But Vaughn Verver, senior political editor for CBSNews.com, says Clinton's win is not a game changer.
This is going to be something that energizes her campaign and her supporters and anybody who might have been on the fence to endorse her psychologically, but doesn't do very much if anything, to really change the math on what is a almost an impossible obstacle for her to overcome in order to get to the delegates needed to win the nomination.
Just hours after the Senate voted to suspend oil purchases for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the House did the same late today. Both votes were overwhelming, and President Bush will reluctantly go along.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, which is doing a 180, announcing that President Bush would sign a bill calling for a temporary halt in filling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Mr. Bush has argued against such an action, saying it wouldn't do much, if anything, to lower the price of gasoline, and saying it's more important to fill the reserve in case of a major disruption in the production of crude oil.
Even the measure's strongest supporters say it would bring gas prices down by a nickel at most. Sean Broderick is an analyst at MoneyAndMarkets.com.
The amount of oil we put into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, I believe it amounts to 0.5% of the total global demand for oil. It's not a lot.
Today, the price of oil rose to $125.80 an ounce. In central China, tears of grief at a school brought down by the earthquake. Across the region, more than 12,000 are confirmed dead. And as the search goes on, that number is expected to go much higher. The Chinese government has gone all out, but Sky News reporter Peter Sharp says much is lacking.
We've spoken to some officials there who've said they've seen no doctors. Medical supplies are in desperately short supply. And what is making it worse is this rain. It's been coming down nonstop now for nearly 2 days. It's hampering the helicopter operations.
The White House says the U.S. government is giving an